Hello, and welcome to episode 286 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, the writer of MI666, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the writer who's recently gone commando, in comics that is, Tony Esmond.
I thought you were going a bit Partridge earlier there. Earlier than normal.
I will activate the Partridge mode as soon as I possibly can.
I love it when you go Partridge.
Smell my cheese, you mother.
We got a box of cheese today. I got a relative sent me a box of cheese, and it fucking minged.
Oh, I tell you what. I mean, you must go cheese mad this time of year, Tony, surely.
I love a bit of cheese, mate.
Yeah, there you go. There's the quote of the episode.
I'm like Jacodemus and Pliers. Cheese me, cheese me.
Cheese me, cheese me, cheese me, baby. What, until you lose control?
Yep, exactly. Of my bowels.
Well, it's already started, folks. Yes, it's that time of the year. Why is Tony eating so much cheese? Because he's mad for protein. Make that what you will. But no, obviously, we're getting to the end of 2020, and it's almost Christmas as we speak. It's December the 20th we're recording on, isn't it? That is crazy. That's insane.
I'm excited. Where's the year gone? What's happened?
Exactly. Where has the year gone? It's been a year.
That joke about how many sleeps it is till Christmas.
Oh yeah, 371 or what it was. Yeah. Day, yeah.
We don't need to go into detail how this year's been difficult for a lot of people, because we already know, and we know it's been difficult. But in terms of comics, it's been a bit of a crazy year. It's been crazy for us. There's been productivity. There's been all kinds of happening on social media, etc. But as always, it's that time of a year where us three get together and we do our favourites of the year. There's no best of here. Not with the Awesome Comics Pod, because there is no best of, because all comics are best, because comics are best. How's that? Is that good?
That's like good. Pure logic.
Yeah.
Logic, isn't it? Yeah. Comics are best.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, these lists are just the things we've liked. So, we've slightly, I think over the years, we do slightly amend what the categories are and stuff, don't we?
We've got a fewer categories this year, because I remember we did it the first year, we went nuts. We had about 30 categories.
Yeah.
And it took all bloody night, didn't it?
I was just about to start going into work by the time we finished.
Yeah.
I think we gave the first ones had 20, 30 minutes apiece. In the end, it was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. This one.
We've kept it nice and tight. Like a mouse's anus.
Like a man's trunk.
Sorry. How does he know? Well, make of that what you will.
There's a town called Mousel. Have you heard of this place?
Where's that? Nah.
And it's I don't know. It's in some carroty place, Cornwall or somewhere. Or, I don't know, Clyde Bank. And it's got
all opinions. Hang on. We need to say straight away before we start this episode. All opinions are the sole property of whoever said them.
Yeah. Anyway, Dan was saying to me that there's this town called Mousel, right? And it's, if you read it, it just says Mouse Hole. Own the name. Don't go Mousel. Just say I live in Mouse Hole. Yeah. That's what I'd say if I lived there.
Yeah. There's a town not too far. I don't think it's too far where I am. Called Chittington.
Yes. I mean, see?
Plastic.
If you're gonna live there, you just got to fucking own it, haven't you?
Yeah. Turn into the skin.
Yeah. You just got to aggressively stare at people when they go, where'd you live? Oh, I live in Chittington. And then just...
Chittington.
Then your eyes glaze over in that kind of confrontational... Yeah. You want to say something? You want to say something?
It could be worse. I live in Margate.
Disclaimer. All opinions that are said on the show...
are Vince's only.
Yes.
He writes the script and makes us say them.
Yes. All your base belong to us. Anyway, so this episode, we're just going to talk about some comics that we've read over the years, some creators that we've enjoyed the work of, etc., etc. And, you know, there may be one particular title that we all love.
Stands out.
That stood out.
Good chance.
Yeah.
Yep.
That, you
it's
know,
we not just... books that necessarily came out this year. We discovered them as individuals this year.
That's one thing about this show. This show's all about the discovery of books, hopefully. You know, small press. And sometimes I discover a book that is years old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, bought a load of Marvel Masterworks, so you're about to discover a load of really old stuff.
Yes, I don't. And shout out first to that comic Smell, actually. I don't know how long this sale is going on for. I don't know how long the Comixology sales. There is a sale on Comixology on Marvel Masterworks at the moment. I mean, I don't own it. I know Tony's owns a load of the printed ones, and I just went on and I bought a few. They're 79p each. At the moment, with digital comics, when they say there's a sale, you look at it, and it just means they're kind of a sensible price or a normal price.
Yeah.
Which has kind of put me, you know, I like a stupid sale. Do you know what I mean?
They're not all 79 pence. So there's a few volume ones that are 79 pence. I think the rest are like £1.59. So, I mean, it's still great for a book that's going to cost you 35 quid to buy in real life. You know,
that's a real money spinner for Marvel because fucking people are snapping up at that price.
Yeah.
If anything this year. Yeah, it's shown us as people going back to the older stuff.
Yeah. I can guarantee you as well. I mean, I've bought a few with the intent to read over Christmas. You know, basically, you know, just chilling out, just go read some old classic sort of comics.
Yeah.
And won't be the same because it'll be digital. Do you know what I mean? It won't be the same as that, the wonderful sort of the printed paper, of course. But I can guarantee you, I've bought more titles than I'm going to read. I'm not going to read all of them.
Yeah,
I probably there's some that will be in my collection, the digital collection that is, for a long time before I read them.
I might never read. It's like comics. Isn't it? Yeah. It's like comics I own. I've never read. There's a few things from the 80s I've still not read. I've owned since then.
Yeah,
I've got that Matt Fraction Hawkeye run on Comixology, and I've not read that.
Oh god, yeah, because that was in a crazy sale, wasn't it? That was,
I've got the whole run for virtually nothing.
Yeah, it always pays attention. It always is good to pay attention to when these sales sort of happen, and keep, you know, because, and shout out to anyone who lets people know about them, because
if you do see one of those sales, do let us know. Like that Zavvi one months ago, do you remember that?
A lot of people took advantage of that as well. I've got some Bucks Fizz on the go. Do you know that?
Is that what that is?
You're
drinking it out, bring it out of a bit of a dodgy glass on you, if that's Bucks Fizz.
What I've got, I've got a Stella Artois glass. I hate Stella Artois, but I've got some lovely, the chalice. What fuck, pretentious.
I quite like drinking a Snowball at Christmas. Just Advocar lemonade with a glacé cherry in. Check it out, it's nice.
Who are you, sorry? Who's this?
Hang on.
Who's on the line?
What have you done with Dan?
Where's Dan?
I think you shot a lime in it as well. No, one year I went round to my folks' house and I didn't have anything in the morning for breakfast. I thought, I'm going to have a great Christmas dinner. And I had three massive glasses of that. And I was like, the room was fucking spinning. I was like, all right, calm down. I've loaded that up too heavy, this.
Amazing.
Not one you have down the pub.
Yeah.
For free glass. I'm securing my masculinity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think Gary the Builder is...
Yeah, I tell you what though. Here's an interesting sort of a Christmas question, as it were, for all our lovely listeners. Because obviously you're gonna. I think everyone's probably looking forward to setting aside like an evening or something. You know, to sit down in a cozy chair and just read some comics. I think that's across the board. There's going to be some point where we're all looking forward to doing that, aren't we? What is your drink of choice when you sit down to do that? It doesn't have to be alcoholic. Could be whatever. You know, what is your setup? And you know,
well, mine's a bit of a weird one. I like ginger ale.
Oh, ginger ale!
Oh, nice.
I like ginger ale. Good. And that. Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, this Christmas Eve, I'll be having a couple of cups of tea and working my way through the planetary on the.
Oh, nice. Good chat, man. Yeah.
The Tony you got me. Nice. That's my Christmas Eve sorted.
Yes, and I've got a doomsday clock to get my hands into. I said clock.
Clock.
Anyway,
speaking of clocks,
yes, Dan,
Comic House.
Next year, Dan, I'm gonna train you in the segways, dude.
That's how it works, isn't it?
You know, we'll just go back to sports. No, you got to tie it in a little bit, you know, to like about comics. Do you know what I mean?
So, speaking of comics.
Yes, thank you to Comic House, our sponsor. They always stick with us, God bless them. They are an indie comic marketplace from the UK, but they support the indie scene massively. We live them. Live them? I live with them. No, I don't. We
wear
love
their
them.
Clothes.
Live, love, laugh.
Live, love, laugh. Oh God, it's gonna be a good one tonight. I just know it. But
you're on the piss as well. This is gonna get worse.
I'm on Buck's Fizz, man. Jesus Christ, I need to drink 4 tons of this.
Oh, right, hardcore. No, yeah. Harry hardcore.
Yeah, well, that's me. There's probably a comic called Harry Hardcore on Comic House. Well, it probably will be soon. Because there's a huge selection of titles on the Comic House database. If you yourself self-publish, you can list your book on there for free. And just then you've got another avenue to start selling your book straight away, which is always good. And they also have an amazing digital app, which hopefully a lot of you people will be using over the Christmas period to catch up on your small press and indie. Because that's all Comic House is. It's just absolutely
good.
Stock to the rafters with amazing indie books. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Space Precinct Zero, Issue 2, Grey, Issue 2, Wallbreakers, Volume 1, Issue 1, The Epics of Echidnu, Volume 1, and March of the Robots, Christmas All Over Again. And many more.
And I've got my royalty check this week.
Yeah, hey, me too.
As well. Yeah. And it really does. It benefits all small press creators, especially now when, you know, at the moment there's no conventions, etc. There will be eyes on your work, you know, because as soon as you start putting stuff onto this app and on the Comic House, people want to check out new titles all the time. And this is a subscription service, only £3 a month, which is cheaper than an average digital issue. That's madness. So, £3 a month, you get access to an enormous library digital indie comics. Yeah. And it's just being added to all the time, because especially over the past few months, we've totally noticed like volumes of stuff has gone on.
Yeah.
Like people have really been adding, like just say they've had 20 issues of their comic, and now they're sort of drip feeding that onto Comic House, aren't they, really? Which is always good. Because if you add your comic on there, there's a good chance you're getting the top 10. And people.
I've got to give a shout out to Pete, because today on the Comic House Facebook page, someone said, I've got a comic I can give away for free. Would anyone want to read it? And Pete said, well, why don't you just pop it on the Comic House app? And they were like, what's that? It's like, you're posting on the fucking comic book, Comic House Facebook page. So
occasionally get that on our page. So when somebody tries to post a Kickstarter link and I say to them, oh, hi, yeah, we don't allow Kickstarter links. Are you a listener? And they go, of what?
Yeah. It's just like that random astroturfing of shit, isn't it?
I guess with the Awesome Comics Talk group, we don't exactly have the podcast name front and center, do we, really? But that's because,
I mean, every 10th
but to get
is
in
this week's episode you, yeah yeah
to get in you've got to answer a question. Do you listen to the podcast?
Yeah,
well, I've noticed the way people have been getting around that is by deleting the questions. You can delete them. Yeah, and I've had a few recently that have done that. And then they've purposely deleted the last one. It says we're not for sales, you know, just for conversation. And they delete that one. And I felt a weak moment this week. I let a couple in, and both of them tried to then post their Kickstarter links. So that I couldn't then go back to them and say, didn't you read the questions? See that question.
Kick them out.
I did. I kicked one out.
Simple as that. Because we don't want our wonderful community having to deal with that nonsense.
You have to kind of look after it and kind of cultivate it, because if you just let anyone post any old shit, it will just go down the fucking drain.
You see that with a lot of pages, don't you?
Everyone posts everything and it becomes awful.
It doesn't take much for it to just be filled with any old shit, much like a sponsorship ad. So thank you very much to Comic House.
That is how you segue.
Yeah, go to comichouse.com to find out about the 14-day free trial. And seriously, folks, in the new year, sign up. If you haven't heard of the app, if you don't know about it, then you have an awful lot of fantastic comics ahead of you. And what better way to start the new year? That's what we're going to say. So thank you again to Comic House.
All our comics are on there. Lots of our listeners' comics are on there. There's a whole selection of different genres, age ranges. They've got the kids section. Get them stuck into that over the Christmas break. It's all on there.
Good.
Nice. Right then, on to the feature of the week, I guess we can call it. Is it a feature? We'll be calling this?
Feature.
Yeah. Don't say it like that. You make it sound sordid.
Little Lord Fauntleroy with your features.
Look, next year's going to be different, Tony. You're going to have to stop bullying me.
You bully me.
No, I don't.
You do.
No, I don't. How do I bully
Shut
you?
Shut up, you do, or I'll smack
it all comes out.
Yeah, okay.
This is it.
It was good while it lasted.
Yeah. So we picked between us five topics.
How come Dan's been the sensible one this week, Vince?
I know. Occasionally he jumps in and like gets us back on the track, and I'm like, "Where's this coming from?"
Yeah, sometimes when the two adults are fighting at the front and the car's about to go over the cliff, I leap into the front and pull the wheel.
I'm just pleased you referred to me as an adult. It's the first time any of you said that. Yeah.
What a year! What a year!
go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah. So basically, it's our favourite comics. Well, our favourite choices of the year. So we've got a few topics. Tony, if you want to tell us the topics in order, and then we'll just kick off from there, shall we?
So first one up is graphic novel. So we're going to do graphic novel to start with. Who would like to go first?
I'll happily go first.
Okay, D-Man.
Mine's, I discovered it mid part of the year. I was on a comic message like forum board, and I saw this kind of couple of pages from it, and I was fucking dying, absolutely laughing. I tracked it down, and it's Mega Hex by Simon Hanselman, which is about an sort of adult twisted version of Meg, Mog, and Al from the famous kids books, and the kind of druggy, alcohol based lifestyle. They're complete degenerates who just absolutely bully Al, and it's just absolutely nuts. It's really funny, and I've taken to following Simon on Instagram, where he posts up I think his weekly like free updates for the comic.
Okay.
And it's all set in lockdown, and how they're dealing with lockdown, and as you can imagine, they're all really terrible people, narcissistic, hateful towards each other, and
so it's basically Twitter then. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, it's like the modification of Twitter. the one that really made me laugh, and I think I've talked about it many times on the show, and I think I posted it up in the group, but Al passes out and they strip him naked and then take him to like a drive-through restaurant, order a load of food, and they're like pushing past the service window like totally naked, and the woman sort of looks out and there's like a close-up of his knob as he kind of like goes past the window in the shopping trolley, and then it veers into the road and he crashes out, and then the police come and arrest him. And it was just, I was fucking dying, absolutely rolling up. So I've got to try and get myself some more books from the series, because I really enjoyed them.
Nice
and quick. That was mine.
Cool. Vincenzo.
My choice goes all the way back to the very start of the year. And it just goes to show that, like, you know, going through like past episodes or things that we've read or things like that, you lose track of what came out at what time. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
There's stuff this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought was that this year? I thought, and it's like, yeah, it was.
Yeah. It's been a crazy time, but thankfully 2020, although it took a turn, it started off amazingly well with one of the latest books from John Tucker, our favourite, The King.
Yes, this is a good one.
This one, which is, I mean, it's got some critic called Tony Esmond as one of the testimonials on the page.
Oh, on the back, is it? Oh, I forgot I did that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, for those that don't know, I mean, this is only, I mean, it's cheap as chips. It's £3 is all it costs. I mean, he didn't do a Kickstarter for this, did he?
I think it was Murder he did the Kickstarter for, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But this is basically, it's once again in John's wonderful sort of, from the narrator's perspective, isn't it?
Idiosyncratic, I believe is the phrase there. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's good to know what that word means.
No, it doesn't mean from the narrator, it just means it of his own style, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's in that sort of trademark style, but what I love about this, and it's a story that basically, in her renegade sister's will, Lisa is bequeathed a large egg. Upon falling into Lisa's possession, the egg hatches after nearly 50 years of dormancy. And The King is Lisa's memoir of her time with the egg and the years following her sister's passing. It's 44 pages, A5, black and white with some gold highlights and stuff. John's artwork is always perfect for everything he does. I know that sounds crazy when you're talking about an artist doing their own artwork, you know, writing and creating their own stuff, but it's just, I mean, that John's style is so in sync with the humour and everything. It just works brilliantly well. But this book also does a wonderful thing that humour does very well. It's very layered, and it's quite poignant. There's a certain sadness to the tale as well, because it is obviously during someone passing, you know, in inheriting something. A lot, and of course, most of the focus will be about what that is inside the egg, which is a. We can say it now, can't we?
Yeah, I think so. The title kind of gives it away, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a miniature Elvis. Of course it is. do you know what I mean? I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? You get left an egg in a will, and when it hatches, a small Elvis Presley comes out. That's
standard.
Yeah, it's just standard, isn't it? Yeah. So it has that wonderful sort of sense of the absurd, but also very well written. And what I like about this, I mean, that premise is absurd, but everything about it makes it feel real, which is weird. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of, it's all about characters. And this immediately I thought, well, we're big fans of John's work anyway, and we'll pick up anything he does. This is one of those, oh, this is his best thing yet. Of course, he's still making things every other flipping week, as well as his Twitch stream and all his art and everything.
And a child.
Yeah, and a child, yeah. Which he did. Yeah, congratulations again.
Yeah.
But yeah, The King's it's just a lovely book. It's just really nice. And it was, I kind of thought it was last year. Do you know what I mean? Because time's been a weird thing this year. When I look back and thought, oh, The King was at the beginning of this year. It's got to be The King. So there you go. That is my choice.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, hopefully a lot of people will agree with me.
Yeah, great title. Yeah, great choice.
Yeah, good. Mine is Dragman, Stephen Appleby. So yeah. Imagine this. It's the start of the year again. Seems to be a lot of good stuff came out at the start of the year. I've got another choice in a minute. And I'm sitting there at my desk at Nobrow, trying not to annoy people, as I mostly do there. And Sam sort of beckons me into his office and says, read this. I haven't read it yet. I think you want me to read it and let him know. And I sat there for a good couple of hours and read it in one sitting. And it's great. It's good to see it getting a load of awards, being nominated for a load of awards as it goes along. I think it's up for an award at Angoulême. I think it's up on the list at Angoulême, which rightfully so. So Stephen, who we've been in contact with, we've spoken to a couple of times, and we're trying to arrange him to come on, aren't we? I think when the book came out, he was quite keen to do a face-to-face interview, but of course COVID happened, so we didn't get him on the end. So I'm hoping we'll get him on soon. It tells a story of it's not autobiographical, but there's elements of autobiography in it. It tells a story of August Crimp, who is so it's kind of a story of transvestism combined with being a superhero. So there's an element of an origin story. If you looked at it, you could read it in one way and just think it's an origin story of a superhero who, when they dress up, gets superpowers. And kind of that's where it is. But of course, it's much more than that. It's much more layered. There's much more going on in it. It's interesting. It's quite touching at moments. And it's done with that really interesting style that Stephen Appleby has, which I saw somebody refer to it as like a wibbly wobbly line, I think, if you look at it. It's got that, again, let's use that word again, idiosyncratic style that is only his. It's amazing. I really, really do enjoy his stuff. And this is a hell of a book. It's a big, thick brick of a book. It's about the size of a book we're going to be talking about again later. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I'd be interested to see where Stephen goes next with this. I know he did a thing with the lakes, didn't he? I think he did a little film with them on their con. I think he's a big fan of swallows and Amazons, so they went out and visited the venue for that and that sort of thing. But yeah, a thoughtful person, and a person who crosses the line between indie creator, self-published, but also a sort of sweetheart of, you know, the Guardian Observer crowd as well. Occasionally they get it right, but yeah, it's well worth your money. You can get it digitally. We also got sent a digital file of it by Stephen, just so I could use it in the review. And after writing the review, we sort of struck up a friendship, so it's nice to see. That's my one. Yeah, good.
Nice. So
now, before we
go
do
on
the,
to, yeah, before yeah. we go on to the next topic, we're just gonna have a sort of mini shout out in a kind of way, because those that don't know, all through December we've been sort of doing a charity drive for Cancer Research UK, and you know what other charities if you want to donate to them, and basically some people get some shout outs, aren't they, Tony?
Yeah, so the people, a lot of people who donated got one of the sort of reward tiers, as they are. You might hear an interview later on with someone else, but these are the people who just donated enough and said, oh no, just give us a shout out on the podcast, that's fine. So I'm just going to read out a few, and we're going to take a little commercial break between sections of our best of, just to talk about a few of them. Yeah. So Eamon Clark, our pal Eamon, if you want some 2000 AD related goodness in your podcast, head over to MCBC Podcast and follow those links, and you'll find his podcast. Always good. We're friends with him, and he's a good egg. Damien and Helena over at Art92. Head over to Art92, so ArtNinetwo.com for all your comics and art needs. Some great how-to videos that Helena's put together. I'll be looking at over the holidays, trying to get my art around to it. I was on Damien's podcast just yesterday, and it got released.
Oh, I saw that pop up, yeah. Yeah. I was like, get that quiet.
It was mostly just, to be fair, it was just a sort of a quick you're available tomorrow kind of thing, and we had a good chat. It was funny. Bryony Evans. Now, Bryony's the kind of friend you want, I think, because she said, can you promote Claire Spiller's comic, Rays, which I know both, I wrote a review of, and I think, Vince, you did like a verbal recommend, didn't you, on the pod?
We recommended it on the pod,
Yeah, environmental mini comic. Go to, so Bryony's basically given a donation to promote her friend's comic. There you go, that's the sort of friend you want, isn't it? Yeah, good o. Artofclairespiller.etsy.com will get you. So it's Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, artofclairespiller.etsy.com will get you the comic. And if you for a portfolio, you can go to clairespiller.co.uk and see Claire's work there. We love Claire's
work.
I will say
I'm glad that shout-out got in, because Ray's was something I was going to shout-out as well.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff, man. Yeah. John Tucker, who just got a shout at John Tucker Art, or twitch.tv/John Tucker Art. If you're for all your craziness, go over there and you can get, are we ready? You can also watch Cliff Cumber be a moderator.
Hooray.
Gee, Cliff. So John's a friend of ours. We love John's stuff, as you probably just heard. And the final one for this section is Matt Bunce, who's also a bit active on the boards, on the Facebook group, friend of ours. He and I often DM about stuff. He's doing this sort of fake facts over Instagram. Imagino Facts, I-M-A-G-I-N-O Facts, Imagino Facts. And he posts one a week, and they're sort of just made up facts, really. It's quite funny. It's worth looking at. And he's just getting his sort of, he's getting his art style into line for that. And it's really beginning to look good. So head over and have a look at that one. Good. There you go.
Amazing. Nice one. Amazing. Yeah. So there you go. More of them to come. Okay. What's the next one?
Next one is comic series. Should we go the same order?
Yeah.
Who was first? Dan, that you first?
Yeah. My comic series, first issue of which popped up earlier this year, and I'm sure you guys are going to love it, or did love it, is Nocturnal Commissions.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's good stuff.
I love this title. I'm really kind of counting the days till Jason McNamara puts out a second one. It's art by Greg Hinkle, colored by Greg Hinkle, with Paul John Little. And basically, Greg Hinkle does absolutely everything else, the lettering, the cover. And it
and
tells us.
How is Greg not on a Marvel or DC book now?
I don't know. He's amazing.
He really is. So it's Airboy.
So good. I could talk about Airboy all day. That's such a fantastic book. Yeah. Essentially, it's a Wolfman, a vampire, and a zombie. It's like the origin story of them coming together to form a kind of a detective agency of sorts. Is that right?
And a zombie,
And just the art choices, the writing, it's just absolutely spot on. Hilarious, funny, poignant.
There's some great writing in that as well, man.
Yeah, Jason great one liners. The vampire character, I forget the name, is just a standout one for me. It's the fact you kind of got the Wolfman, who's kind of like a bit grungy and dirty, and then the vampire, who's kind of quite stiff upper lip and refined. He's created a good set of characters to kind of bounce off one another. And the zombie is like a punk, isn't he?
Isn't he a band or something? A band, didn't he?
He was in a band, and he just took so much shit that he ended up becoming a zombie, as far as I can recall. And he's sort of the main antagonist in the first one, but then it turns out not to be. He's now one of them, and it's all good. Mm. Yeah, so highly recommended. I can't wait to see the more of it.
Yeah,
good stuff.
I can't wait for more of this.
Yeah.
Okay, then mine. I'm gonna do a cheeky honorable mention first, because I wanted to. My main pick. It is a new title, a newish title, I get. You know, it's not what you think. But the honourable mention is Outer Darkness.
Yeah, mine was at honorable mention. That
I've not heard of that book. Is that?
Yeah. Anyone who's listening to the show know that I absolutely adored that book. It was amazing, and the reason it's an honorable mention, I mean, that was just going to be my flat sort of pick, but unfortunately, it sort of finished this year, which was gutting. It finished after the Outer Darkness 2 crossover, which was very good as well. But
you got me into that, and then I got two other people into it.
Yeah, and it's so good, and it's so sad that it's not.
Someone was really annoyed that it stopped. I just got them into it.
When so many other comics that have just keep going, and they've got less, and this one has so much potential. It's just anyway.
People are stupid.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are indeed. But yeah. Outer Darkness is a brilliant series, so just get the book. Just get the books anyway, because you will enjoy them. But my actual main pick for my fave series is one that I discovered on this show. It's one that I didn't know about until Tony Esmond recommended.
Oh,
issue.
Oh, okay.
And it's Let's All Die.
Yay!
Oh yeah, good stuff, man. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, isn't yeah.
Next issue should be out anytime soon.
Must be anytime soon, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's three issues out so far. I've been getting them.
Is that going to be the final one, the next one? Is that right? I think
issue four. I think must it might be. Yeah, it's building up. Yeah.
There's not many people left.
No. This is it's a classic. It's a slasher in a camp. You know, Camp Silver Skies. You know, oh, we've seen that before. You know, Friday the 13th. You know, Jason Voorhees. This one's a bit different, and it's because the characters know that there's some sort of serial killer that is apparently supposed to be stalking the camp, and they all go there anyway because they all want to die. Because this is they meet up as part of a suicide therapy group, don't they?
Yeah.
And away from the group, they all decide, yeah, let's go. We don't want to take our own lives, but we can get around it, which is a twisted logic. But we can get around it if someone else takes our life. That immediately is like, oh, that's a bit different.
Yeah, definitely.
But what I like about this book, especially like about this book, that isn't just a cheap pop. This is a very well-written book about people and characters. And there's lots of, I mean, I'm going to say layers again. There is lots of layers to, you know, good horror characters and stories. You know, a lot of the times when you read a lot of horror books as well, especially in this sort of genre, the slasher genre, they're just meat for the grinder characters. And when you read those sort of stories, there's no sense of, oh, who's going to go next? Because, let's face it, you don't really care. You know they're all going to go at some point. But this book is very much, I genuinely don't know who's going to go and when. And when it's happened and how it's happened, because it's known that the glory in a horror film is how the kills happen. Do you know what I mean? And there's some really good ones. One of the ones that I think it's the end of issue two was pretty shocking, brutal, and ingenious in a kind of way. It would be nightmarish what happens to this character. But at the same time, it's written. There's a very dark sense of humour going through it. It's not. I don't get the feeling that it's sort of grim and nihilistic, which books like this probably could have been, and that helps because I know the people that created it, of course, written by Sean Gabarin, art by Michaela DeSacco, coloured by Yann Perrelet. I hope I got that right. The art does, talked about the story and the writing, but the art does such a great job of elevating it. And like a lot of horror books, we've talked about it before, go really dark and grim, and you know, obviously there's nasty things happening, but there's a real cleanness to the line.
It's important, I think, with this sort of, especially this subgenre of the slasher movie, it's important to be able to work out who everyone is without you know, squinting, and because it's all about the personalities, isn't it? It's all about the characters, and you need to be invested in them before they get killed. Yeah. In some way or other, and it perfectly does that, but it does it without making it photo referency, which I really liked.
And you really do get a feel for the characters themselves, and another part of the story as well, because obviously you just think, oh, these people are going, they want to die anyway, so who cares? Well, someone turns up, someone's car breaks down near the camp, and all of a sudden this is a person that probably doesn't want to die, which changes up the game. But there's
but then
questions.
Again, is it? That's the thing. It's weird, isn't it?
There's lots
you immediately become suspicious, don't you?
Yeah. There's twists, there's turns. There's a real cabin in the woods, knowing sense of the genre, paying respects and doing its own thing at the same time. And Let's All Die, I think, is it. It's great. But, I mean...
I actually don't like Cabin in the Woods as a movie because I find it too knowing, too winky.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It starts off okay, and if it carried on like that, would be fine, but it becomes a bit... I don't know.
I love it when it goes mental, that film. But
that's the point of it. Do you know what I mean? That's the point of it, I think. But this is much more based. This is much more grounded, I think.
And also, you've got that real sense. I mean, you know, looking forward to issue 4 and seeing how this plays out.
But yeah, he's a good writer, that Sean. Yeah, we must get him on. I know we spoke to him quite a few times. Yeah, we're sort of arranging it, but he's a great writer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where it's going. That's why I'm enjoying it so much. Yeah. I have no idea where the Full Fish is going.
Yeah, and it's got another sense of like, yeah, we've got all of these things that are like turning the genre on its head and the story and, you know, characters and things, but the, you know, the Jason Voorhees of the story. Is that, do you know what I mean? Is that force of nature that when they turn up, they just want to do one thing, and they do
it. It's a whodunit as well.
Yeah.
It's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It basically is. It's Scooby-Doo with an adult aesthetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. It's just very good, and yeah, I just absolutely loved it, and like, yeah, and I mean, it's as soon as I find there's an issue, open it, read it, cover to cover, done. Do you know what I mean? There's no ifs and oh, I'll read that later.
That has to be read and consumed immediately.
And I think it's also rereadable as well. So, you know,
I'll definitely get this in trade when it comes out.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it will be in trade. A lot of these books aren't even making physical. You know, some books. Yeah,
I think the way this is going to go with like it's going to be trades of stuff that's done well. We're going to talk roughly at the end of the show about what we can see coming up, but
and what we hope.
So Let's All Die, that's my pick. Thank you for Tony to bring it to my attention. Thank you to the creators for creating it, because I'm absolutely loving it. So
good stuff. On to me. Back to me again, obviously. I've got two worthy mentions. Let's say one worthy mention. I found this really difficult, this, guys. You know what I'm like. I literally was going to bed confused and thinking, hopefully I'll sleep on it and I'll wake up. And I wake up thinking, no, it's got to be this one. Then halfway through the day I'll go, nah, it's got to be that one. And I was between two for this one. So I was between the honorable mention goes to Savage Dragon. Like you just said, Vince, the book that I always read immediately. I double dip on it because it takes so long for Get My Comics to send me with the bloody comics that it's been on Comixology, and I just read it on there. So I actually pay for it twice, like the total comics mug that I am. But it's been great. It's a book you can jump in. It's a book that knows what it's doing. It's sexy. It's funny. It's action-packed. It's scary. It's tense. It's just everything. It's everything. If you had to buy one comic ever, this would be the one you could buy every month and just get enough of a bite out of it, you know. But the comic series I went for was The Department of Truth. So written by James Tinian IV, art by our friend Martin Simmons, lettered by editor Bidikar, designed by Dylan Todd, edited by Steve Fox. A book that is about... I mean, it's a book that could have come out in any decade. It could have come out during the X-Files boom. It could have come out before that when Sienkiewicz was big. You know, it could have come out in the 60s. It's from a theme. It's basically paranoia around conspiracy theories and those people who know and those people who don't and those people who control them and those people who don't. But it's deeper than that. There's a much bigger depth to it with a narrative that surrounds a new recruit. It's so full of spoilers. I can't really... The end of issue one is a big spoiler, and it only gets worse as you go, gets better as you go through. And it's a book about the nature of ideas. It's a book about the nature of theories and what we believe in and what we believe in is real and what we believe in isn't real. And if there was ever a time of conspiracy theories, it's now, isn't it?
God, yeah.
The anti-vaxxers and the QAnons and all these sort of weird things going on in the world. It's definitely now that it just echoes so much. I've every time I read it, I think what is Martin doing? Oh my God, this is amazing. And I want to post a page of it on Twitter or on Instagram or something. And I think I can't because it contains spoilers. But he is playing with the medium, and this is the best I've ever seen him. He's freer. There's a different quality of line than we got from Punk's Not Dead. Although I did like Punk's Not Dead. This is seems to be free, a bit more John J. Muth. I think I compared it to him, and he said, "Oh, that's really nice because he's a big fan of his." There's it's creepy and tense and mysterious, and some of the images will give you nightmares. Some of the images look like they're scrawled on a blackboard. Some of the images are just beautiful images of sun bleached LA streets and cars and incredible stuff. He throws in, there's a collage. It looks like a collage element to it. I'm sure he does it all digitally, but there's like little flags thrown in. There's extra images and repeated images. And Tinian knows what he's doing around the writing. The first, I think I said when I reviewed the first issue, I think I might have been February or something like that, I said this is going to be my book of the year, and it still is. It's still really good. Mm. I know Martin put the pages online for sale, and I think they went within like 10 minutes.
Whoa.
And all due respect, they were not cheap. And neither should they be. Mm. I think Sarah got a page. I think she'd been promised a page and she paid for it early or something like that, I think. And it's amazing. It's totally beautiful. If you're into that sort of thing, if you're into the Sienkiewicz and John J. Muth and these sort of people, you'll love it. And if you're into good Vertigo, you'll love it. Just absolutely brilliant. I think there's a scream at the end of issue 3, which is comparable to the scream at the end of Twin Peaks. It just, wow, okay, here we go. Yeah, and it seems to be rolling. I think he posted an image from issue 6, I think, this earlier today on his Twitter. But yeah, it's great to see Martin. And we've known Martin for years since we started the show, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
And it's
great to see him. Yeah, yeah, super nice guy. Always always awesome hanging out with him at conventions and stuff.
And that, I remember he did that... Jessica Jones covers, didn't he? And we think, wow, this is again even better, I think.
Yeah,
I remember bumping into Shelley Bond. This is a story I've told a couple of times. Bumped into Shelley Bond. I was with you, Dan, I think. I bumped into Shelley Bond at Orbital, and she said he was the next Sienkiewicz. And I think she's right. I think she called it early there. Yeah, really good. Yeah, that's my favourite series. There you go.
Nice. There you go. So that's two down.
You know, I've yet to read that.
No, I've heard nothing. I've heard nothing but amazing things about that. So that's on the wish list for next year.
Yeah.
But before we get on to the next section, Tony.
So Ian Ashcroft, Ian donated a page. It was quickly snapped up within 5 minutes. Ian.ashcroft.art on Instagram, and you can also find his work artstation.com/IanAshcroft2018. Obviously, we know Ian because he was on. You worked with him on Space Warp, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's very good. I wrote a short for a little Heroes anthology last year, I think it was, with him. And he's another dude, five minutes from being...
He's the man of 100 styles.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
I sort of seeing it, wow, he can work in that style, and then see another one. It's like, wow, that's amazing. Look at that. It's completely different to the last one, but just as good.
Yeah, he's a good egg. Yeah, he's one of those guys who doesn't shout about his work enough, I think. I think he needs us to shout about it a bit more because it's really good. And I know that Pat was chuffed as F to work with him. Nick Bryan is a buddy of ours. I think the last time I saw him was at the Hackney Zine Fair. But if you go to Nick Bryan, N-I-C-K, then B-R-Y-A-N, nickbryan.com, you can read some of his... He's got some free comics to read on there. And he's on Twitter. He is at NickMB. He's a buddy of ours. He's been on our radar for a couple of years now, and he's chatted about books of his for a while.
Yeah, we spoke to him at Thought Bubble as well.
That's right. Yeah, of course we did. Mm. Yeah. The Lakes podcast, what would come in next week. Watch this space. I've just messaged them. Ian, Nikki, Mike, Pete, and Tom. Always a favourite podcast of mine to listen to. Thanks for donating, folks, and looking forward to the quiz next week. And how could we forget Mr. Curry, Tom Curry?
Oh, what a dude.
Hey.
This time he has actually paid us to give a Skelly Bob shout-out. So I knew it happened. So Skelly Bob, skellybob.com. And on Twitter, you can find at this chucklehead, the unofficial fourth member of the podcast and the chap who runs our drink and draws. So very cool. Thanks, Tom. And one more, Gary Watson, another big pal of ours, another pal we've been friends with for years, seemingly. Yeah. And a lot of these people I'm calling out here didn't want a shout out. They just said, oh, and donated money. But I said, no, you've donated enough money, you get a shout out. That's how it works. Comicsanonymous.co.uk is a great review site by Gary. We see Gary, and he's always one of the few reviewers I'll read. I'll be honest with you. One of the few reviewers I trust.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah, he speaks his mind, and that's what I want to hear. If you go to ComicsAnon blog at Comicsanon blog on Twitter, you can find him on there. Always good. Comicsanonymous.co.uk for the reviews. There you go. That's that one.
Nice. Good. Okay. The next one, Tony.
Next one is writer. Okay.
Okay.
Who's it first? D.
Dan.
Me, yeah. I've gone for a lot of small press on my list. I'm going to first off give an honorable mention to Tom Ward, excuse me, for his work on Merrick.
The new issue landed on doorsteps today, didn't it, I think?
Yeah.
It did indeed. Yeah, I've yet to read my issue, part two of Puppets. Tom just consistently smacks it out of the park with Merrick. Absolutely solid roller coaster ride of a story.
I mean, I think we need to get him back. I mean, he was our first guest on the show, so we need to get him back on at some point because his journey has not stopped.
Is Luke Parker still on it?
I know. Yeah.
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 Well, that's good. Still doing a good little consistent run, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's one of the longer runs in a small press, I think.
Yeah. Knows how to do a Kickstarter.
Yeah, just does the Kickstarter, you get your comic, and wash and repeat. You know what I mean? It's great. But I'm going to give mine this year to Gareth Hopkins.
Oh, good shout,
for
man.
His work on the Petrichor.
Yeah, he's one of my honourable mentions, actually, so I can get him in now. Okay.
So that was really... the thing of kind of like the comic and making observations and stuff, and then there's a story that spins off within Petrichor, and it really kind of like touched me and sort of... I could understand it. It spoke to me when I read the work. I felt a connection to it. And... it was just really well done. And when you said your story, Tony, about it getting wet in the post and that's what adds to it.
It's
a very personal thing. And I just feel like Gareth's work's coming on leaps and bounds. It's
there's such a quality to it, isn't there? It evokes something you don't see anywhere else, which I like about it.
Yeah. He's got that, the eye for it of kind of like, noticing stuff, like a good photographer can pick out a scene and frame it just right. Gareth's got that skill as a writer, and he's able to communicate those ideas and thoughts and feelings, and it very much comes across in his work.
There's very much the life of the interior there, isn't there? What he thinks, you know, he manages to translate what's going on in a head, in your brain, onto a page, which I always admire.
I've had those thoughts too, and there's times I put stuff on Twitter and he likewise, and it's like, that's pretty much what I'm thinking and going through with the kids.
Yeah, okay.
Really understand him. So he's got a whole slew of work. I think Petrichor might be available on the Comic House app. If not, plenty of his other books are.
Isn't Petrichor through Good Comics, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I picked it up from them, I think, Cardiff Comic Festival, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a bitch, the old links in this one, Vince.
That's fine. That's why I'm writing down the names every time I...
Hey.
That doesn't mean anything, though. This is a very unprofessional show.
Exactly.
My pick is a writer that came onto my radar this year. And I think he's a writer that... I think... you need to keep an eye out for, I think, because...
Is that it? Because he's dodgy, or...?
No, he's not one of us.
Okay.
Just because so far everything I've read of his has been awesome. It's Brian Wickman, who I recommended a couple of times on the show through... he's got like a free comic called Big White on his website, and also he did Grit through Scout.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Now that is going to the trade of that's going to be out. I think Valentine's time. I think is what he said. Both of his titles. Just immediately, I'm like, oh, this is. I like this writing. You know, there's a real great sense of character, without hundreds and hundreds of paragraphs of white speech bubbles, or, you know, without being too writerly. Do you know what I mean? You know when some people get all authorly and you just think that you don't need to say that much in order to get a character across. I think Brian's got a brilliant sense of dialogue, character. And I'm just looking forward to the ideas that he's going to do moving forward, because, you know, whether Grit will have more issues or whatever the next title is, I'm there for it. And, like, it was immediately sort of, yeah, I can't wait for that. You know, I read Big White, and then when I heard about Grit, it was immediately, I'm looking forward to this book, which is always nice, but when it delivers, it's even nicer. So
yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, check out the books and follow at BM Wickman on Twitter, and look forward to seeing what he's got next. So that's my one.
Good stuff. Mine's mine's quite mainstream, guys, again, I'm afraid. But there's reasons a lot of these people are mainstream. It's because they're good at what they do. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
And a lot of them have come up through the small press. But my my worthy mentions was going to be Gareth. Pat Mills, obviously. Pat yes. gets a worthy mention every time, especially for Space Warp. And I don't know if you two have seen the Christmas 2000 AD. The Slain in it is fucking hell. Oh, my God. Wait till you see Slain in 2000 AD this week. Jesus Christ, it's good. Obviously, another one, Bob Fingerman, Dottie Goes to Head, Dottie's Inferno was brilliant, and also Jonathan Hickman. He's kind of last year was the hotness, wasn't he, with Hox Pox. But X-Men remains good. It remains a good title. I wasn't quite in love with X of Swords, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there for Hickman. But my writer is Bendis, Brian Michael Bendis. He moved over from Marvel to DC in quite a surprise move for me about over a year ago now.
That was a big thing when it happened, wasn't it?
It was a huge thing. Yeah. And to me, was almost indicative of the situation at Marvel. If there was, if he was going to move, you know, he was their big gun, wasn't he, for so many years, for 20 years. I mean, I bought my son up on Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, we talked about it every time a trade came out. You know, it was like 10 trades that spanned the life of a certain period of my son growing up. But I do really like his writing. I find him personal. I think a lot of people give him digs for, you know, writing too many stories about superheroes sitting around the TV chatting. But that's a little unfair. But he moved to DC and was given the Superman titles to take over. And I'd lost the Superman that I had grown up with when the new 52 started. I don't know if you remember it, and Grant Morrison had him in a pair of old boots and jeans and like a tied round cape, and it was all a bit style over content for me, and the JRJR stuff was a bit, at the time, was a bit just too rambunctious, and to me wasn't Superman.
Nice use of the word rambunctious.
Thank you. and then we got Jim Lee giving Superman some weird costume noodled armor, and I thought, well, this isn't him either. I wasn't enjoying him for a while, and Bendis brought back a bit of heart to him. He brought back the person I recognised as Superman. I was 10 years old when Superman the movie came out and all this sort of thing, and I really felt for it. And I read the issues. I get the issues on my pull list, and I've bought every single hardback that's come out around his run, including Event Leviathan. I do genuinely think he's brought him back to us. And I know he's about to leave Superman and move over to the Justice League. I don't know if you saw the teasers this week for the team.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I saw a little bit. Yeah,
it started coming out. So he's going to be going over there. So other Event Leviathan, he brought back Legion Superheroes. I'm a huge Legion fan. I talked about it on another podcast last week about, I just want to talk about Legion for a whole episode. I just love them. I think they're a great idea. Teenagers in space, you know. He did Young Justice, which I'm yet to read, and Naomi, which I'm yet to read. But my son reads Young Justice and says it's really good. So, yeah, I think Brian Bendis is all about the writing. He knows what he's doing. He's written books on how to write, and he knows how to do it. And it's a shame. His Avengers run and his Ultimate Spider-Man and was just brilliant. I just loved them. And he's over at DC now. And I hope he's going to stay around in the mainstream for a while and not disappear off into television or...
Yeah,
I don't suppose the money's in Image anymore either, is it? But no. I'm hoping he's going to stay around.
A Superman thing popped up on my Facebook wall, my memories. I shared it years ago.
Right.
And it's from a cartoon, an animated one, and Clark and Lois have gone to see Ma and Pa Kent. And they're telling Lois about how when Clark was little, they used to wrap his presents in lead. so he couldn't tell what it was.
Well, there's that's Clark the cover.
Says, as Clark says, don't you mean Santa wrapped them? And that's Superman.
Yeah,
he got him.
Well, that's I did a pod about the a DC Superheroes Christmas special, and on the cover it's got Superman looking at a present that says lead on it.
Yes.
So it's good. It happened at the end of last year, but I spoke to Stuart Moraine. Moraine's like the hugest Superman fan, isn't he? And in it, spoilers for a comic over a year ago, but the Superman gives up his identity, gives up Clark Kent, and he tells the world. And it's one of the best executed series of pages you'll see, because it says there's very little writing and a lot of telling. Beautiful, beautifully done. And the ramifications are still playing out now. And it's the DC universe where everyone knows who he is. Of course, he's got family. He's got Lois Lane he's married to. He's got kids. There's the Superman family of heroes, the Legion of Superheroes. There's all this sort of stuff going on. And it's clever, tight. And the last issue it's got me waiting for the next issue every time, which I really
That's
like.
That's where it should be.
Yeah. Really good. That's my one.
Amazing. Yeah. So, with another round down, Tony.
So, some more good eggs. Thank you, good egg people. You're now part of a club. So, Lucy Sullivan, one of our buddies, we did an interview with her for Thought Bubble. I did, didn't we? We did one for there. At Lucy Sullivan UK. Lucy Sullivan UK.com, who has the most gorgeous art style, that it looks utterly instinctual and just scratchy sensitivity, and I just love the way she draws. But she draws it in such a weird way, we didn't realize, did we, till we saw her drawing. She sort of almost underdraws it, sort of thing. It's or through another piece of paper and stuff. But yeah, brilliant stuff. Love Lucy stuff. Rachel Lee Carter, one of our best friends, tinynoggin.wordpress.com, always putting out interesting stuff. Go and follow her on Twitter. She does zines and little stories and postcards and art, and probably one of our most imaginatively kooky friends. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that, but she does some stuff that just really appeals to me, the way she does it. Alan Purdy, who did you see his Alan Moore did on the Drink and Draw?
No.
Did you see it?
Yes, then? Yeah.
Oh my God!
My
How good was that?
Yeah. So good. So
Alan's
good.
Great. Alan's a big comic collector and reader, and also an exceptional artist. And you can follow him at Alan Purdy, P-U-R-D-I-E, at Alan Purdy on Twitter. Charles Raymond, notsotiny.co.uk, at not_so_tiny. Another small press machine puts out small press Chlorophyll. Still one of the funniest books. Just love that sort of colour. He'd worked with me on the Hall Chronicles. Yeah, another good egg. A couple more before we switch to the next thing. The Mighty Imber. Chris has donated a page, still up on our Facebook, for £40, a page of Imber's work. Absolute steal.
Yeah.
And he will send it to you if you buy it. Just donate £40 to a charity and let us know, and Chris will send it to you. I own a page of Chris's art as well. I love it. Absolutely beautiful piece of art. But you can go, you can buy The Last Sheriff, you can buy all of his work at recklesshero.com/shop, or follow the Reckless Heroes guys at Reckless Hero HQ on Twitter. And the final one for this little section is Sam Brett. So Sam is probably, I don't think he's allowed to listen to us. I don't think his dad allows us to listen to us.
No, but yeah. So if he isn't, we want to say he's an absolute fucking legend.
Yeah, this, fucking this legend, kid. Sam. Yeah, he's doing some. He does the art chops on that puts half the small press to shame. I've got to tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
on that kid. If you go to @sam_brett.art on Instagram, you can find his art, and he's a good kid.
I can't wait till he starts making comics.
Like, yeah, me too. Great. Yeah, and he's a particularly a friend of mine, because whenever I do Nottingham Comic Con, I make him carry heavy boxes. So that's good.
Oh, unbelievable.
That's it. That's that little section over with. We've got a couple more left for the next one.
Nice. Okay. Next.
Next is artist. Favourite artist of the year. D-Man?
Well, mine was Sarah Gordon.
Okay.
She popped on an earlier show and talked about her books. And she gave us all those PDFs. And I was like, one of those things of going around to get them in proper hardback. But I've yet to do that, much to my shame. But her work, just generally the whole book and... it's just fantastic, and her work kind of fits the subject matter so well.
Yeah,
it's hard to imagine having any other artist do the work on it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of the whole package as a creator, and I really enjoyed it. Kind of every single one of her titles, yeah, it said something different, but they all had the same sort of.
It's creepy and it's gothic, creepy. And it's inky and yes. It's, I remember when we had her on the show. I was talking to her. There's definitely a page or two of hers because I know she's got original artwork that I definitely want to get my hands on. So I need to talk to her about that. Actually,
check her about that. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So yes, good Sarah choice. Gordon's fantastic work.
Yeah,
and I'd like to have a couple of honourable mentions.
Go on, mate.
Cliff Cumber for this.
Dynamite
work. All year long. It's brilliant. Yeah, all the stuff he's doing is brilliant. And Adam Phelp, Stuart Mulrain.
Oh, hang on. Yeah,
both of those two guys have been putting in the hours and just getting better and improving every time. Like, you look at Adam's work from Atomic Hercules 1 to Commando, and you could just the improvements in them are just get. It's just, you can see it in the lines, the sureness and the confidence that's building. With Stuart again, like, just that constant drawing and keep on doing it and doing it and doing it, and you will get better at it. And Stuart's work is proof of that. It's coming on leaps and bounds. And well done for dropping the weight, Stuart. You look great for it.
So, yeah, it looks well sexy, doesn't he?
That's great. Don't worry, put it all on over Christmas. But
yeah, don't worry.
Tell me about it. Okay, my pick for my fave artist. I've got a couple of honourable mentions as well, but fave artist, are you online, guys, currently, as we're talking?
Yes, I have to be. Right. Talk to you.
Okay. Now, the artist I'm going to talk about, he's an artist, he's a graphic designer, illustrator, and stuff like that. Been an enormous fan of his work ever since discovering it. I gushed about it when I talked about one of the books that he did the art for recently, Realm of the Damned. My fave artist of the year is Pye Parr.
So
if you go to PyePARR.com and then click on the gallery button, and you have to pick your socks off from the other side of the room, because this dude is fucking amazing. I very proudly have one of his prints on a wall at home, which is lovely. And I've seen that I'm not even a fan of Primus, but there's a Primus print that he's done that I need to have in a frame and on my wall. I absolutely love this guy's work. He's worked with 2000 AD, I think the magazine. He's done a strip called The Intestinauts, which I don't know if it's come out yet or whether it's to be.
What, in 2000 AD?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
And also he did the aforementioned Realm of the Damned, all three books, which was metal as fuck. And
fantastic! Yeah,
I remember loving this after you mentioned him before, because I went away and tried to copy his style, didn't I? With the sort of greys and reds that he uses. I really like that. Yeah.
And there's a real sense of graphic design. I mean, on his page, he's also got some of his design work is amazing anyway. But just straight up comics, the detail, whether it be the figures have a cool sort of almost an anime quality, but you know, there is a comic book quality to the faces, you know, but the world and the detail, you know, whether it's cars, buildings, apocalyptic landscapes, fucking devilish trees, God knows what, or giant monsters made out of rotten human flesh. Hey, dude can do it all. And and he has been doing a lot of sort of hot rod type cars and stuff like that, just trying that sort of stuff out, and that looks amazing as well. Fair play to anyone that can draw a car that actually looks like a car. Got to say it now. I did Murder Road, and that was an absolute stonking nightmare. Happened to do that. If you find him on Instagram, it's Pye Parr. That's PyePARR. Definitely need to, like I say, there's an actual original page of his. I'm going to risk saying it on here now. There's which is a cover of Realm of the Damned, the second book, which is currently on his website, which is definitely big on my wish list.
How much?
I'm not going to say it on air.
Go on, text me.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I'm guessing he does some lovely screen prints as well. So, and I think since discovering Realm of the Damned, he's been one of my top artists. And I don't know, And I mentioned that the first book a couple of years ago, didn't I? After the 2000 AD 40th.
So, right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wanted to properly sort of shine a light and just focus on this guy's work. He does oil paintings and stuff as well, and it's all just really nice. And you know, so Piper, I'm looking forward to more of his work, and yeah, and who knows, one day I might have some more on my wall. We'll see. So that's my choice. Yeah. That's my choice.
And
my
honorable mention, my millionaires.
Yeah, when we're millionaires. Well, I mean, you're talking from the West Wing, aren't you, Tony? And Dan's in the East Wing. I'm in the penthouse. So.
Fuck off! You're in the basement.
But I'm looking at the stars.
I've pulled the ball gag off.
Anyway, and my honourable mentions. I've got two honourable mentions. I just want to shout. One of them has already been mentioned on the show. Claire Spiller, always a massive fan of Claire's work, and yeah, certainly it raised. Was on my shortlist as well for the series, but she does wonderful sort of like animal artwork throughout the year. She's and just follow her on Twitter and Instagram. She does wonderful prints of like, I think she's doing like different sort of breeds of animal, whether it be birds.
Yeah,
that's
great. I love liking them. Every time I see them, they come up. Yeah, so yeah. I've got an original Jessica Jones. She did me actually. Really
yes,
nice.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Oh, just wonderful stuff. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Claire's work. So, looking forward to seeing what she's going to do in the new year. And another one, Lise Richardson.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Yeah. Who, I'm hoping she does another calendar for 2021 because we've just finished the 2020 calendar, which every month was an absolute fucking joy to look at because Lise's work is so lovely, like watercolours and coloured pencils and stuff. She's also got her own sort of like Instagram strip and things like that, and like very good humor. She's done she's got a little illustration book about folk horror and etc. She's one of the BAM Collective. Much love to all of them out there. Hope you're all doing well. But yeah, definitely follow Lise as well, because yeah, I just love their work. And that's my choice.
I need a new calendar for the office. I've got a crappy boring Ryman's one.
I'll tell you what,
if anyone out there has got a calendar they can put my way, I'll buy it.
Completely. Yeah. I completely agree, because you know, you go into the shops and they're just all shit, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
another pug's calendar.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, it's Simon's cat. No offense to Simon's a cat, but it's just like they've just taken a one panel from a strip and it
milking the shit out of that.
Yeah.
The Sunday Sport calendar didn't even come out this year.
Oh, well, you know. It's something slap in the face. Something to look forward to, isn't it, Tony? Right.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, remember when you used to buy extra bags of nuts in the pub, so they pulled them off so you'd see the extra boob underneath? Remember those?
So who's your choice for best one?
I can't remember what the subject was, but someone says, who has porn in their house on Christmas? And like the Sunday Sport responded with, we do in ours. Of course you do.
Dear God.
Okay, my artist. I'll do my mentions first. So a couple of the same. Cliff Cumber, our buddy, love Cliff. Mm-hmm. And he's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And he did me my Christmas card, which I sent you, which is not for everyone, to be fair, but I did put it in. Thanks, Cliff. Falpy, he and I, co-publishers, I like to describe ourselves, or just nutters who sit about making shit up. So we just, you know, it's an absolute joy to work with Adam. Him and Daryl Thorpe I'm working with at the moment, both just balls of energy, just brilliant. You know, you can, as a person who's twice their age, it's just a joy to work with people like that. Benjamin Mara, who did the cover to our second issue of Herc. The alternate cover, and I follow his webcomic, go back a couple of episodes and you'll hear about that. Paul Ashley Brown, who's another member of the BAM Collective. I'm a fan of his work. Did you pick any of his stuff up, Vince, when we were at BAM? You remember? He was next to me at the first BAM. Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't think I got a chance to.
He's great, man. He's just sent us out of the blue. He just sent me this thing saying, oh, any chance of, you know, if you want to use this as a back cover or a pin-up, here's a picture of Tommy Herc. And it was like, it was Mike McMahon. Good.
Yeah.
Just incredible. I sent it to you guys.
That's
nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Rankin, his buddy of ours. I like Brian's stuff. It's sort of, we've been chatting to it for a few years, but then I saw that Alan Moore comic and it just made me laugh. Against You, My Rain. And again, just because he sent me a picture of a poo a second ago, the Mighty Cannon. So, Johnny Cannon, who's, yeah, I'm not sure he was working on next. Transylvania Nights 2, maybe, but I'm looking forward to seeing him do stuff.
I can't wait for that. Yeah.
With James McCullough. Artist. So I've gone mainstream again, guys, because he's a master. He is one of the best people out there, and You can't get away. You can't get around it. He is. He's part of that post Toth, post Wally Wood. You know, less is more with just absolute instinctual ability. And it's Chris Samnee.
Yes.
We talked about firepower. I think we all read it early in the start of the year, didn't we? Just absolutely brilliant. Almost made it onto my favorite series. The only reason it didn't make it onto my favorite series is the art is absolutely stunning, but the story just has sort of gone around a bit in circles for the first six issues. Seemingly based in the bloke's garden every issue, but that's Kirkman for you, do you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm glad he's on a Kirkman book. I'm hoping he's making loads of money out of it. I'm hoping he gets a, you know, a TV deal, as much as I'm a bit done with TV superheroing. But I'm hoping he makes enough money just to carry on giving us art like this, because it's just incredible. So the first book was Away in the Himalayas, wasn't it? We all read it. There's with that sort of Kunlun kind of feel to it. And the actual series that spins out of it, I think it's up to issue six now, is based in suburban America, and he's married and he has kids, and it's about him deciding what he wants to do. Does he go back to the temple? Does he stay with his family? And his hand is to a certain extent, and this pushes on every issue, is being forced to do something. And he meets old friends and he meets new assassins, and the fights are just so good. If there was ever anyone who could translate a Shaw Brothers kung fu fight into a comic, it's this dude. Everything has movement. The thing about it's the dichotomy of comics, isn't it? It's a static image that we want to show movement.
Yeah,
that's the whole key to a lot of stuff. And you know, he has that fluidity, and he has that he can choreograph a fight, and he knows where, like we talked about last week with that Master of Kung Fu sequence, he knows where. Yeah. Where to land, what to do, what has weight, what doesn't have weight, what shows a strike, what doesn't show a strike, you know, how deadly everything needs to be. So good. And throw into that, it all happens in a sort of kitchen of a house or in the garden, and there's a dog and there's a couple of kids who try to help out. And yeah, just fucking draw everything, Chris, if you could, please. You just if we could clone you, just get you to draw everything, and that would be great.
It's so strange what you said, like, you see the movement, but I don't want to see that animated.
No, I don't either. No, not at all.
I want to see the movement in the page.
It works in my grey matter. That's where it works. Yeah. You know, it's the ability to show that between panels, isn't it, and stuff.
The artistry doing that is...
Yeah.
So we got an Invincible cartoon next year, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. I want to watch it, but for me, like, Invincible is the comic and takes a step down when it's animated.
Because I couldn't sleep last night, I watched the Batman Year One cartoon again.
Okay, what's that like?
It's all right, because it's about Gordon.
Okay.
It's a character study of Gordon.
If it's done well, animation can absolutely smash it.
There's a couple of bits. It starts off with this plane landing, and it just looks like a computer model of a plane.
They do that a lot.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
I don't mind to be like the boy who watched Hilda series 2, and he loved it, but there's a sequence with like an airplane or something, and it's like, that's 3D. It's been traced.
Okay.
I'm not going to knock people doing that, but it is what it is.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. There's whole panels that seem to be taken out of the comic and transferred.
It's fairly
close to what happens in the comic. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'd like it. It's one of the better ones. There's some. What's it? The Killing Joke. Isn't that a fucking abomination?
I've watched that this year.
Yeah, that's upset me enough that we're not talking about animation anymore. Right, okay. That was so shit. Anyway, but Chris Samnee is an absolute fucking legend.
Yes.
So,
yeah, we loved that book, didn't we? Mm. Are you guys up to date, or are you waiting for the trade on the continuing series?
Yeah, I probably
haven't even read the miniseries, so I want to get that.
Yeah. Right, okay, so the one-off, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fucking dynamite. That was brilliant.
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's a right punch at the end when it jumps back to, like you say, the suburban. You're like, what?
Yeah. 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 And suddenly you get that airship and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Okay.
Good. Last few. That Comic Smell. They're our buddies.
Yeah.
Just look for That Comic Smell. It's on SoundCloud. That Comic Smell on Twitter. TCS. They're kind of our Scottish brothers, aren't they, really? You know, and we hang about with them at conventions, and I chat to them constantly, and they're good eggs, all herded by Tom. Have a listen to them. Andrew Clemson, The website is Clemson, C-L-E-M-S-O-N, ClemsonComics.com. At Andrew Clemson on Twitter, he kindly donated. He's a comic creator, and you can look for Damsel for Distress, and it's D.I.S. You know, it's like S.H.I.E.L.D. Damsel for Distress. Probably the donation that blew us away the most. I won't say the amount, but Steve Sims. Thanks, Steve. Like, amazing. Thank you, dude.
Yeah.
We're big fans of Steve's and have been since we first saw it, I think. I can't remember where it was we first saw it, but we've definitely
True
kept
Believers
up.
True Believers was when we noticed that. Well, I think when we were launching the autonomic.
James Gibbs came over with Battle Wedges.
Yeah.
He was like, check this out. And we were like, fucking hell.
We were like, what the? And he had already put out, I think, 3 issues by that point, hadn't he, I think?
Yeah.
So yeah. Like, right. class. Yeah. yeah. He's definitely, he's in the... Yojimbo League, isn't he? He's that's the sort of area. Turtles kind of stuff. You want to read his stuff. So you can go to www.battlebadgers.co.uk, which is like the best website ever, or at Battle Badgers on Twitter. You can get hold of Steve. Very cool of you. Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Another one, Steve Ingram. StephenIngram.bigcartel.com. You can get his comics, of which there are a number. Quiet, biographical, sensitively told, but with a real insight into personality and stuff. I read Holly a couple of weeks ago after backing it on Kickstarter. Really good. You can find Stephen at Stephen Ingram Art on Twitter. And our final one, Neil Johnson, who's a regular on the Drink and Draws. Neil, thank you for pledging. Thank you for donating. And he's asked, can we just give him a shout out to his Instagram, That Insta Johnson. That Insta Johnson. He does a sort of combination on there. Have you had a look at this, anyone? He does a combination it looks a bit like an illustrated story panel, maybe like a storyboard. But he does do comics as well. But this is that line that sort of somewhere between illustrated prose, comics, and storyboards, and that's what he's doing. It's interesting, really interesting guy. And I suck a couple of artists his way, and he was sort of, oh, it's really interesting. There's a touch of the Tom Scioli's about his art, actually. I think if you like Tom Scioli, then you're probably like. You like Neil's stuff, yeah, he's a good egg. So there you go. That's all our good eggs for the moment, but you can still donate. So if you want to donate to a charity, you can get a shout out on here, or if you want to donate £20, you can get a short interview, and £30, you can get some art from Vince, some art from Dan, or a critique of your comic by me. But if you just want to donate, you'll definitely get sent a badge by Sarah Harris, our buddy, and you'll get a shout out on the podcast as well. So there you go.
There you go.
Fantastic.
And thank you to everyone that has donated so far. You are absolutely amazing, all of you.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, okay. What's the next one, Tony?
Company.
Okay. One caveat we didn't mention at the start of the show. We agreed not to talk about each other's books to promote. We're all wonderful and great, but we don't want to be that.
We'll have a little roll through, because we've had quite a few replies. We'll have a little roll through after this one and before the final one. We'll have a little roll through what everyone else has been saying on social media, because we put a shout out for your favourites. So don't worry, we'll probably try and get to you in a minute. Yeah.
For me, there's one company that has absolutely just smacked it out of the park this year for titles, and that is Avery Hill.
Okay. Nice.
Victory Point. Break. Blanking on the name.
Breakwater,
and Billy Scott.
Yeah,
all three titles I've read and conceived this year, and loved them all.
They've had a strong year, haven't they? Mm.
They've had a very strong year, and I think they're kind of the selection process of the guys just really has paying dividends. Just the eye to select these great creators and publish their work. All of them something different to say, and they're all brilliant books. I've read each of those multiple times and got something else out of them on every read. I really enjoyed speaking to the creators. So shame we can't. I'm trying to get Oliver the chap's name who wrote Victory Point. It's a good thing I've prepped for that.
Owen Pomeroy.
Owen Pomeroy, yes. If we could get him on the show and speak to him about it, but
I know Owen. I've known him quite a long time. Yeah. He did British Ice, which I know was put out by Top Shelf the end of last year as well, wasn't he? So it's, I think, just the way that the slates worked. He's had two big books out in, 18 months. Yeah.
But, Avery Hill, once again, just absolutely doing fantastic work and putting out fantastic books. Nice. Hard to say much more about him, really.
Nice.
Good stuff. Yep. And all the nicest people in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really nice.
And
really
been
nice.
On the show multiple times, I think, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. My pick was a publisher that came onto my radar, and then it seemed like it was almost like I was sponsored by them, even though I wasn't, because I just kept mentioning their books all the time. That's Scout Comics, yes. Who sort of came onto the radar, and they're putting out so many books at the moment, so many sort of, but like indie books as well. And there's certainly some titles that I've seen that have become part of their stable now. One such title is Drexler, which we loved. Nate was on the show talking about that, and that's now part of Scout Comics as well. As well as doing its own thing, but they're just the murderer's row of amazing books. If you just go on the scoutcomics.com and just look through the titles, Frank at Home at the Farm, it has become part of it. Yep. Grit was on there. Do you know what I mean? I've mentioned several. It eats what feeds it, things like that. Oh my god, I can see Providence of Madness is going to be on there. Oh yes, yeah, that's a new title that I'm looking forward to next year. Yeah, so much so that they're starting to set up their own. You know how there's a publisher has an imprint. You know, like here's where you go for your horror, here's where you for the sort of adult books or whatever, or the all ages and stuff like that. They're starting the Black Caravan, which is their horror corner.
That sounds very exotic. Maybe they've never been to any UK caravan park.
Let's not get into that, Tony.
Yeah, with Steve McFadden.
Yeah.
A drunken Steve McFadden.
But they seem to be doing good work, and they're doing it because I think they just want to get comics out there, which is good. They also do like if you're in the States and you want to because subscription boxes, you can get subscriptions on everything now, can't you, really? Whether it be razors, pants, cheese, Dan Butcher. No, I'm only checking.
It's a one-off payment.
Although, check his Patreon. No.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans. Yep. But no, for instance, they do like a monthly subscription box, which includes up to like 12 new Scout comics every month, starting at like $33.99 a month if you're, in the States. Obviously, with the UK, it's probably not available to us because of post and all of that nonsense. But seriously, if you can get, I love that sort of idea. If you just want to sign up for a whole load of books, it's just great stuff. So yeah, Scout Comics, love them. They haven't given me any money. I just want to say that. but there was like a couple of, it seemed to be a few months, wasn't it, where I just kept discovering books, and it wasn't it wasn't one of those. They would send, I was getting freebies. I was literally like looking at a list and going, what the hell's that? And then I was discovering it, and so many good books. So, yes, that. So it would have been stupid if I didn't mention them.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Tony.
Oh, I've had my heart broken this year, as you know.
Yeah.
It's been a bad year, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is the one that I really, really had to soul search on long dog walks about what I was gonna go for.
Yeah,
I mean, just seems that everyone's in trouble or squabbling. Yeah. So, a lack of consistency at Marvel, comic companies like Valiant seemingly reversing out of the industry. Although we are buoyed a little bit by the fact that they sent us some comps to read this week, which Ray and Exo, the Ray stuff, amazing. DC with all their strange firing incidents and dramas, and I don't think they know what they're doing. And DiDio for me was a big loss. I loved Dan DiDio, having met him at New York, and what a dude. Mm. Image for me carries onwards, but I've fallen off buying a lot of their titles. I certainly was buying much more in previous 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
TKO wasn't feeling their last set of releases. Not to me, for something that I enjoyed as much. I preferred their first raft, though. This was on their third raft, aren't they?
Zara started off so strong.
It did. It really did. And Sentient as well.
Yeah.
Magnetic Press, I'm really digging what they're doing, the translation stuff they're doing. There's some really interesting stuff coming out of them. AWA, we were on there very kindly. They sent us some of their books, and we reviewed some so far. American Ronin, brilliant stuff. We're really liking their books as well. But a bit too new for me. I wanted something that I was really feeling. 2000 AD and Rebellion, still putting out 2000 AD, which is patchy, although the Christmas book's amazing. I don't know, just I get the sense they seem to actively dislike anyone that's not members of staff. I was going to go with Avery Hill, but I don't think they're making comics specifically for my sort of taste, although they are very good. Fantagraphics have been great. Paco Rocca's book I talked about last week, Peter Banks repackaging and stuff, really good. But after all my soul searching, I decided I just wanted to name a comic book company that was putting out comics that just were fun. I decided I just wanted to go for the fun element to a comic company that, by weight, if you wanted to weigh the amount of comics I've bought in the last 3 months, would probably win, because I think I've bought, I think it's 15 trades in the last 2 months from this company and roared through them. And that's Dynamite. They've all got a reputation for being slightly schlocky, slightly silly, a little bit TNA, and I'm going to probably agree with you on all of that, really. But they are fun, and some of the titles that they put out the Red Sonja titles, which are great. Vampirella, Red Sonja, Barbarella. You see where this is going. Elvira.
there seems to be a lot of Ellas.
Yeah.
Ellas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of boobs.
But yeah, the Mars Attacks and Red Sonja. Dynamite. They started putting out Green Hornet again at the start of the year, and I don't know. I just wanted something uncynical, and, you know, wasn't forcing some kind of ridiculous message that a 52-year-old man knows and has known for a number of years down my throat. I just thought, I want to read something that's fun, and that's what they are. Then some of the artwork can be a little patchy, but there's Joseph Linzer's in there. Mirko Kolak. I'd read Mirko Kolak till I fell asleep every day, all the time. but the, Dynamite, just fun. Just I've ripped through, I'll read couple of trades a week of theirs, if not more. So the weekend I was reading four or five at one point. But yeah, good. Deja Thoris, Barbarella, how's that for a title?
A lot of these titles are on bloody Witchcraft, aren't they?
Yeah, some of the slightly older stuff's on there. Yeah,
it can counts,
yeah there's in there. And Vampirella Aliens is on there, and it's written by Corinne Bechko. It's pretty good. It's all right.
I was reading when fucking the chestburster comes out of Vampirella.
Yeah.
And she survives it, obviously. And
yeah,
has to go from there. That's a real bold move.
Yeah, the true hero we need is Vampirella.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, I read them monthly now. I don't just buy the trades. I'm on board for a pull list with them all now. But yeah, good. There you go. So that's my one, Dynamite. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons that Mandalorian TV series is going so well is because it's just honest to goodness, untroubled fun.
Yeah.
Just, there's no political kind of heavy political messaging or pandering. It's just,
yeah,
fun. Do you know what I mean?
I don't mind messaging. As long as it's not some 24-year-old is going, excuse me, boomer, have you heard of racism? I say, yes, thank you. You know,
if you want to explore, for me, it's different for any exploring a political theme or message in your book, like the one coming up does, and preaching it.
Yeah.
Ask people questions and get them to question, reevaluate what they're thinking. Don't get them
some intelligence. Don't
preach to people saying this is what you should be thinking. If you don't think it, there's something wrong with you. Which,
I mean, if half these people who preach about stuff had actually helped anyone in their lives, then I would be impressed with them. But most of them haven't. They just sit on Twitter, eulogizing. Yeah, there goes a word.
That's a good word. Bloody hell, you're doing the old Dan's Dictionary corner. Oh, yeah. This one. Yeah.
Good. So we're out of adverts. Did one of you want to have a look at Twitter, and I'll have a look at Facebook, and we give a shout out to a few people? Do you want to do that?
Give me a sec.
Okay. All right.
Drop this on us.
Yeah. Sorry. So I've got the Facebook one here. So, what a few comments. Gordon Brett, he said he's enjoyed The Armory Wars by Claudio Sanchez. He's out of that good band, isn't he? Coheed and Cambrian, isn't he? Gordon's also enjoyed Knights vs. Pirates by Reckless Heroes and Murder by John Tucker. There you go, Man of Taste. Matt Bunce, we just mentioned him. Shaman Kane. And I'm also thoroughly enjoying Department of the Peculiar. John Tucker, multi-nominated in the ACP faves. He said... Matt Dooley's Flake, Rob Guillory on Farmhand. Did you read that, V? Farmhand.
I read the first issue of Farmhand. It was very, very good, but I just too many titles just didn't get a chance to sort of
get around to it.
Yeah,
yeah. Lucy Kinsley, Go to Sleep, I Miss You. Vince Hunt and Daniel Chan, Black. There you go. What's happened to Black? When's it coming back?
New Year.
Hey. Yeah,
that's a plan.
Tony Esmond and Cliff Cumber. Tony Esmond is a movie star. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, and Leslie Steen, I Know You Rider. Dave Robertson has done a picture of all of them, including Atomic Hercules. Thanks, Dave. Homecoming. Star Jaws. That's a good book. It makes me laugh. Journey to the Center of the Earth 2. Kent State. Star Trek The Enterprise Logs, which is the original Gold Key stuff. What We Don't Talk About from Avery Hilligan. And New Gods. He said there were some of these phase reads of the year. David Livens, I might read this actually. Honestly, whilst it might sound a bit sycophantic, your podcast, it spurred me on to hear you gushing over, make of that whatever you will, thank you, so many great indie artists. In turn, I found myself constantly inspired and pushed me to create, and even with more fervor than I already had.
Well, that's the magic words.
That's it, man. That's what we want. As for books, Lorenzo Etherington's How to Think When You Draw book, which and also Grew the Wanderer, which I'm a big fan of. Good stuff. Thanks, man. Amazing. That's really kind of.
So on the Twitter, Charles Raymond, he said, hadn't read much this year, but these take the top spot, which is John Tucker's The King and The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott. That comic Smell, who we mentioned earlier, hey. I've got a raft of names because they read everything, those boys. So The Penguin, I'm just going to name just a couple of them. Holly by Stephen Ingram, Sarara Ra. Do you know Olivia Hicks?
I don't know where that one is.
What We Mean by Yesterday by Ben Mara, The Junction by Norm Conyeu. The multiple releases from Tribute Press. make of that sort of wording, however you want. Avery Hill had some absolute beauties. Midwinter by T.J. Bird. Those are the ones that are stuck out for them. Oh, and they did add on. Oh, and The Firepower Prelude. Lovely.
Yes, nice.
Zach Cobb, who always joins us on the Drink and Draw.
Yeah, shout Zach.
Yeah.
Zach is also donated. I don't know why he's not on the list. I might have missed him out, but yeah, thanks, Zach. Zach's putting out his own comics now, isn't he? He's been in a few anthologies. Yeah. He's in the Whip anthology. Yeah, he's an artist on the rise, and his work, another one like Stu and like a couple of others, is really improving, man. I'm really enjoying the way he's doing stuff. He put some great stuff out on the Drink and Draw last week, actually, 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
nice. He said he's really enjoyed Hawkeye Freefall, and he's been delving into Jack Kirby's creations, starting with Mr. Miracle. Wow, what a journey he's going to have to dump into Jack. And there's lots of good stuff from the small press. John Tucker again. And Reckless Heroes, Knights versus Pirates. Tom Curry, Atlas Chucklehead, Die from Image, and the webcomic Law Olympus have both been amazing. Seeing the picture of Law Olympus, that looks like something that would be right up my street as well.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah. Sam Webster. S.J. Webster Art. He reread Scarlet Spider and thoroughly enjoyed it, which looks like it's around A versus X. That's right, in 2012. That's Scarlet Spider, I think. My Hero Academia continues to be a fantastic read week to week. And he's a dude that knows his manga and anime. And last one, Alan Henderson, the Mighty Penguin. He says, is it sad that the best books I've read this year have been those from circa 1990? Basically, the research for Never Iron Anything. And I will say, yes, it is, Alan. It is sad. Sort your life out. That's amazing.
Me and Al basically compete to do the amount of research for that podcast. Yeah. We do have a... he's great. I love Al. Top bloke. Shall I do a couple more? Simon Russell, I've enjoyed more pods than comics this year, and ACP never lets me down. Thanks, Simon.
Thanks, Simon.
David Craner, he says, for me, it's the independent stuff of all. I'm truly blown away by it. Bring on next year. Damien Edwardson, Edwardson has said, podcast, ACP, MCBC, and NIL, keeping the love of comics alive. Artists, a bit odd, but I've been loved watching Stuart Moraine improve. Yeah, me too, man. Good stuff. Yeah. He's said, Kent State, MI666. Look at that. Hey, man of taste. Hey. Rock the God and Battle Badgers. Good stuff. Eamon Clark said Altitude, which is a book we reviewed, about six, 7 months ago. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Blow you away. Beautiful. And Cliff Cumber, good old Cliff. Murder by John Tucker, The King by John Tucker, Atomic Hercules, thanks, man, very kind of you. A transgressive laugh out loud series, not sure how Tony and Adam get away with it, that's true. Scrawl Comics Magazine, another first, which I'm guessing will be a series of shouts for Scrawl, because it's now hitting people's inboxes. Black by Vince Hunt and Daniel McChant. Absolutely brilliant Instagram webcomic. Special mention, Space Warp. Hey! Good stuff, man. He says, full disclosure, I'm involved, but it is still brilliant. It is still utterly brilliant. You got any more, guys?
No, I think that's it, isn't it?
That's a lot. And just so you know, I'm not putting all of those in the show notes, by the way.
No.
They're all amazing. Go and seek them out, but I'm not spending a week doing that.
Yeah. I've just got a couple more then. Lucy Sullivan, Femme Magnifique, created by Shelley Bond. The Hard Tomorrow by Eleanor Davis, and her favourite series of years, Homesick Pilots by Daniel Watters, Wingard, and Bidikar. It's sheer punk horror brilliance. You liked that last week, didn't you?
Yeah. I think, you know, that was one of the ones that was so fresh in my mind. I thought I could easily talk about that, but no, I think if it keeps going how it's going to be, it's going to be a shoe-in for my best of next year.
Oh, good stuff. Okay. Yeah. Oh, good stuff, man. Pete Davis says his favourite's been the entire small press community. Without many of you twats, this year would have been 1,000% worse. Good job, Pete. I like listening to Pete. He's always got something to say, and he's always interested. Gareth Hopkins, I honestly don't know what I've read this year. A bunch of Larry Hammer Wolverines from 1994.
That's fine.
I mean, we know where. This year has been a funny year, and it sort of pickled our brains, and we really had to sort of, you know, look through the muddy water to remember what we read this year, what we didn't. I mean, Tony started the year with a huge list in January, which
I'm going to do that again to contrast and compare this year.
Good shout.
I've got a couple more. There's Stuart Moraine, The King and Murder, Volume 1 by John Tucker, good stuff. Galaxy Grappling Alliance by Damian Edwardson, good stuff. Is he working on 3 now? I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah, we've done 2, so 3.
Cool. Tony Osmond is a movie star, thanks, man. MI666, look at that. Vince and Andy Blore, Beast Hunting Battle Badges by Steve Sims, Atomic Hercules by me and Adam, thanks, dude. Pirates versus Knights versus Pirates by Chris Imber, Chris Jenkins, and Jay Martin. And from DC, and this is the page I was talking about in Superman. It's Superman 18, which is the one that he and I talked about, where he gives up his identity to Perry White, and there's no words, just brilliantly done. And Brian Rankin, Buddy Does Seattle. Thanks to Tony, because I think I recommended it to him. And Sweet Tooth, which I think there's a new Sweet Tooth series come out as well, which looks pretty good. I must get on that. And Sarah recommended that to him. So there you go. That's the whole of the Facebook ones. Good stuff, guys.
Nice.
Nice work.
Okay, we have one final one. And this is the all-round awesome choice. Because when we were putting together these lists, there was one title, there was one name that we love all of the books that every single one of us has mentioned here, but this one we're all on the same page.
Yeah, all in agreement, this one.
Yeah, hit us for different reasons in different ways, but yes. Tony, if you just want to mention what our all-round awesome choice for the year of 2020 is.
So for 2020 is Kent State by Durf Backdurf.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well deserved.
Yeah. And tells the story of the terrible incident that happened at Kent State University, and it's a documentary comic in a way, isn't it? It's a retelling, a reimagining, or not a reimagining at all, because it's a retelling through huge amounts of research and detail and work put in by Durf. And the next thing that's worth saying to that is, what a guest! How cool was that?
We've got him on. It's fantastic to everyone.
And it's kind of really gratifying to see him getting him nominated for so many awards and getting in so many best ofs. And I know a couple of weeks ago we saw a best of mentioned in The Guardian, and they didn't mention this. And to me, that completely eliminates that best of list as worth anything.
I don't know how you could even not.
I mean, I think if you read comics or you love comics as an art, and even if you're someone that's like, well, I don't read those kind of comics, listen up. I don't read those kind of comics. I don't. I don't normally, you know, these sort of things, they don't normally appeal to me. And certainly, I will say now, this is the first Durf Backdurf I've properly read. And it was from this that I'm going back to read other stuff. Because obviously, like Tony talked about on the show, we immediately, you know, we were looking at pages, we were discussing it. Me and Dan then went away and we got copies ourselves, read them, and it's just, you know, it's just mind-blowing comics. on so many different levels. You know, the research is phenomenal. I mean, I'm just going to talk about it now, just from like the comic page, the sequential storytelling, the moments of, let's face it, brutality that it builds up to, and it's like a powder.
It's actually a pressure cooker.
Yeah, it's a pressure cooker that builds and builds, and the way that I don't want to. I'm going to say the word payoff, but I don't mean it in that sort of term. It's a tragic event, but the way that all comes to a head is so masterfully done, through both the artwork and, let's face it, the cold descriptions of this person, this real life person who is no longer on this earth, and it hits you like a punch in the gut.
And I mean, he spoke to people who were there and people who knew the people and stuff. That's going for it. That's doing proper research. That's not just sitting on the fucking internet looking up
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And it's being
there and talking to the people.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite episodes that we've done this year was when he was on. Partly because obviously we love this book, and it's nice to also get a name like Durf Back Durf, because obviously like my friend Dharma and stuff like that, you know, just purely from that. But A, being such a great guy, and also good sense of humour as well. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, he's creating work like this, but he also does funny work as well. But he's well thought out, and like I highly recommend, if you haven't listened to that episode where we talk about Kent State, go back after this episode and listen to it.
Give it a listen.
That's also one of, I think, our best interviews, guys. Yeah. I think we really, I mean, we're known for being, I like to think we're insightful with our interviews, but having a sense of humour about ourselves. We showed that we can do both at once on that, as always.
We can do the serious. We're all kind of learned people and kind of, I think we've got something to say about the stuff we read and talk about.
Being serious and being insightful does not have to be boring.
Yeah, and they're not mutually exclusive. You have to be stupid and silly.
Show is very much like someone at a convention literally asking a creator, "How did you do this?" Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're not journalists. We're not professional journalists doing this.
For me, he was someone I'd seen about, and until Tom Stewart, give a little shout out to Tom and Dave again, who pushed it by my way to read My Friend Darwin. It's something I hadn't read or always seen on the shelf. Yeah. But I'd seen his work about, and it was, to me, it was quite underground. There's an underground feel to it. But to distill that, and his line was slightly cleaner. Sorry. His line was slightly cleaner on the page. But it became perfect for that period of time, you know.
It was just right. I mean, I got into it through when you did the Never Iron Anything podcast about Dharma, and I can remember I read it years and years and years ago, and I just didn't really take it on. It really struck when I was like, oh my god, I have to get that book again, and I did, and I was just absolutely captivated by it. So his take on it, you talk about writers and artists leveling up, that was like the next step,
such a bigger stage, wasn't it? A bigger cast, and go from a serial killer, but
corralling, like, you had one central figure, the Dharma, and maybe a few periphery ones, and then next one you got to track all these people from every single side of it. And again, it doesn't present the story as like these guys are right, these guys are wrong. It's just like, this is
no sixth form politics there, is there?
Yeah, that's the journalism of saying that this is how it all played out, and the artist is trying to tell it as absolutely like straight as possible. Every single action is backed up by fact, and if he's challenged by it, there's pages and pages of footnotes at the back, and that's done tons and tons of research.
Sometimes when it comes to sort of events or moments like this, you have to stop and look at, it's a tragedy, and you have to look at it as the tragedy. Forget about, like, you know, the he said, she said, political, black, and, you know, whatever that is. Sometimes you just have to look at the event and be touched by how tragic and awful it is. And this gets to that, because it's like, no matter what, you know, this happened, you know, and then it makes you, and certainly from a UK reader, we don't know about any of this.
No, like, honestly didn't know didn't know anything about this.
Especially like a lot of, you know, younger readers as well. And certainly, you know, I mean, this happened in the 70s as well, didn't it, Tony?
So it was absolutely like tied into Vietnam, wasn't it?
So, you know, it's fascinating to... I mean, this is... You know, schools need to be teaching this.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully the American schools do. I mean, the idea of being put into national service to go and fight in fucking Vietnam because you're a certain age group. Like, imagine you said that now in the UK. People would go fucking nuts. You'd never want to do that.
Yeah. Because I think when a book like this is at its most powerful is not when it's telling you how to think, it's getting you to ask questions and making up going to find out the information so then you're well informed. And that's kind of what this book does.
One of the subject matters you touched on, I did a bit of reading on later in the year, and it's the fact of the National Guardsmen, how they could do what they did. And it's like being in the group and being kind of like a almost like faceless entity of kind of like the state. And it's very easy to kind of get corralled into that. And people would say, well, how can that happen? And I read up an incident, it also started in the 70s, called The Wave. And this teacher was showing his class about the Holocaust and the Nazis and how many people died. And the students were like, well, why didn't the people do something? Why didn't they stand up? And he was like, well, it's very easy to say that. But when it comes along and you're swept up on it, to be the one person that stands out and does something. And essentially the students rubbished it. So over the next couple of days, he went home and he read and researched about Nazism and fascism. And he started introducing this program into his class called The Wave. And over the next couple of weeks, all the students had joined up. They're all wearing the uniforms, all got the salute. If you're not in the in-group, you're getting pushed out. And then he said, right, we get all the members we can and we're going to go in this hall. And I'm part of like one of the leaders all over the America. And we've got a senior politician who's the leader of the Wave, and he's going to come on and address the nation. And when he put the TV on, obviously it's Adolf Hitler giving a speech, and the students are absolutely like distraught because they've made this big claim that it wouldn't happen to them. They just walked straight into it. Obviously they wouldn't do that to students nowadays, but they still talk about it as the kind of like an experiment. And
I was reading about it on Friday, man.
Absolutely fascinating. That I wish more lessons were taught like that, but you can see why they won't, because some kids, I can imagine, that would absolutely fuck their lives up.
Don't teach your kids to be Nazis, wouldn't they?
But they sound so easy to kind of march into it. Same with the people in the Kent State, like the soldiers kind of did this stuff, and if they were to like just circumstance and getting corralled into it, and it's horrible. It's very easy to demonize people to say
I think so, but he paints a bit of that bit of the sort of crowd mentality thing on both sides, doesn't he?
Kind of like it's very much them and us. I mean, the whole town was the students versus the local populace. And when just before we did the show with Durf, I was watching some documentaries, and I could not believe what the locals were saying after the shooting, saying that they deserved it, and they were asking for it and all this, and you're like, fucking hell.
And there was a genuine rumor that went around the town at the time that they'd put LSD in the water so people weren't drinking from their taps but they believed it.
Kind of hysteria starts.
I'd have drunk two pints straight away.
And people say, oh no, it won't happen. When people running down fucking buying all the toilet rolls.
Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't be me doing that.
And you got all these anti-vaxxers and all these sort of people like, you know, Christ almighty.
But my mate said on Facebook that so that's why I'm not taking the vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But glad you get your news. I saw that meme going around, isn't it? That people who are pro-vaccination, where they get their news from, and it was someone, you know, watching a news TV, scrolling through the internet, you know, reading papers on it, and then where anti-vaxxers get their news, and it's got someone sitting doing a shit, looking at their phone.
Talking about matters.
Kent State is the all-round it's just an absolute standout book. And it's a big book as well. So,
and if you haven't read it, treat yourself to it.
Be a nice little order it from Amazon and you can read it between Christmas and New Year, or other online, you know, retailers. You'll enjoy it because it's
get your independent bookshop to order it in. And you won't regret it. It'll sit very proudly
if they're
on
not in tier four.
Look, people might be listening to this in 5 years' time when we're all living on boats.
Tier 43, yeah.
And they cover the listening device from the ruins. So what's this?
So those were our choices. Keep the conversation going online, etc. And just, you know, take our little categories and just start sharing them out to the world. Just let them know what your favourite choices of the year were. Copy in the creators you love, and let's just share like good books, because that's what we need right now. Just, you know, this show normally upsets people because they buy a lot of books because of recommendations, and that's how indie comics basically survives most of the time, let's be honest. I've bought an awful lot of books because people have recommended them to people. So keep the conversation going, because it's been a year, and it's been a year for comics, so we all need good comics in our life. But we just want to let's do some shout outs first. Do we have any shout outs, gents? I know we had the list, but have we got any other sort of
it's probably, you know, shout out to everyone who's listened or downloaded or interacted with us, I suppose. It's been quite a year, and it's been a year of us being inside and talking about comics and reading comics rather than going out and meeting people. But I feel like I'm, you know, almost every day someone will reach out to me on, you know, Skype or FaceTime, and I'll chat to them about what they're reading about and stuff like that. And it's keeping all of us sane, I think, to be fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been nice for everyone.
Definitely. Thank you to everyone who's been listening to this show over this crazy year. And we hope we've kept you entertained and introduced you to some comics, or like help you make comics and stuff. We're going to go away over the Christmas. We've got some fun left for the rest of the year, but we're going to figure out some
title match next week, Vince.
The title match. We'll get into that at the end of the show.
I'm writing the questions this week. I've started writing them.
Yeah, you know where to send the answers, don't you, Tony? I'm only joking with this.
Lotsy's giving me 100 quid, so you'll have to top that, my friend. I'm joking. No one's giving me any money.
Jesus Christ. Okay. No, but seriously, thank you for listening and supporting the show throughout the year. We truly appreciate it. And and thank you for checking out the creators that we talked to, because they've all been amazing. So thank you to all the people that have talked to us this year as well.
I've got a little shout out, if you don't mind, just a thanks from the point of view of Tribute Press. Thanks to everyone who's helped us along. We started about 10 months ago. In that time, we put out six comics, which we're quite proud of. A couple of web comics and a couple of some prints and a print size comic. So we've done all right. I'm pleased.
You've been absolutely cooking with gas, dude. You've been awesome. You've been churning it out.
New things in the year. Thanks, man. And we got some new things in the year. So thanks, everyone. Keep an eye on it, because we're probably going to put out a bit of a State of the Union in the next few days, and we're going to we're working like bastards on the next few issues. So there you go. Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Nice. I got a mini shout out for a creator that who always does a funny bit of artwork, Sam Schaefer. He sent me a little sort of an 8-page sort of Christmas card. It was a nice little a little A6 folded little comedy sort of illustrated book, The Holiday Spirits, A Guide to Christmas Cryptids, which is quite nice, and they're all funny. The two of my favourites are The Unknown Uncle. Few have ever seen him in the flesh, but many have borne witness to his work. Every year, millions of households receive a holiday card from a relative they don't remember. It is said that the W feeds off the guilt and confusion that this causes. And the other one, and Tony will probably know this, one of the holiday cryptids is The Great Escape on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Tales are told of this creature once being a plentiful sight. Many old people will speak of it as if it is synonymous with Christmas. However, very little evidence exists to show that it ever really happened.
Apparently, that's the one. There's a couple of these things, but that's the program. I heard someone from the BBC say every time they put it on television, they get the same viewership.
Really?
They could put it on twice a year and the same number of people would watch it. That's good, isn't it?
I'm turning it to my dad, is in fact that whenever there's a war film on, even black and white, whatever, it's like, I'm fucking down with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Dirty Dozen was filmed at the top of my road, some of it.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So always look out for that one.
Like where Eagles Dare was on either today or yesterday. And I was like, let's get into this.
Yeah. Nice. Isla, She Will for the SS. I always watch that.
Nice.
I've got to do my comedy, find the most inappropriate film ever and say, oh, that's Christmas family afternoon film sorted. I usually make that joke once a year. So.
Oh, good. Try Shit, Piss, Fuck 3.
For one and two are Barnstormers.
Yeah. You worked that plot out already, but now, yeah, pretty good.
Now, with all of this comics joy that we've talked about, we're running out of time.
What do you want to do? Say a couple of things that we're hoping for in the new year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. we could probably. I mean, it's been a tough year on everyone in a lot of ways. Whether it be you're making comics or with family, friends, or whatever, and we hope you're all okay. But yeah, let's keep the good vibes going. So what would we like to see next year?
D-Man?
I feel like the reins are being handed to small press and indie comics. I feel like that's where I'm looking. Most of my reading, 99% of my reading this year has been small press stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And just, I think it's going to go from strength to strength. I think where the bigger guys are kind of a bit lost, and I think they're going to find it very difficult in the months, year to come.
Yeah.
That gives an opportunity for people creating their own comics to kind of step up and maybe get their work noticed and get it out there. The audience is there for you. You make your comic, and if it's a good comic, people are gonna buy it. Mm-hmm. So, what's stopping you? Go for it.
Yeah, everyone can make a comic. But I mean, it's very difficult, obviously, finding the audience, which is something we always talk about on this show. But like you say, like. There's been, I mean, just look at Kickstarter. Jesus. The second half of this year. That will slow down in the new year because of like lots of postage and all of that. You know, certain details will change.
Yeah, I've gone to digital for a lot of stuff now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's changed. Well,
I'll just wait for it to go. And I think the thing is, for a lot of pro stuff or a lot of sort of near pro stuff, I'm just going to wait for it to hit comic shops.
I think we might see a wave of like Ryan K. Lindsay, our pal. Did with Dear Editor, it's just a straight up just digital book. Pay a couple of dollars, you get a digital book, which is fine. Treat it like a pre-ordering system like that. Do you know what I mean?
They got to start thinking about printing in other countries and having for markets elsewhere. You've got to have an agent. You could pay 100 quid to who gets it printed for you and delivered to their house and posted out from there.
Mm.
They've got to start thinking because the postage from the States is just so ridiculous now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen next year as well with Brexit stuff. That's going to it will increase prices, not going to decrease prices.
Yeah.
So
The Marvel app, mate. That's the way forward.
Yeah, I'm still booking old school. I do really want physical copies of the books I'm reading.
But, yeah,
I know Vince. Well, CV, how much did you spend on Masterworks this week? Couple, of, £4, £5.
£4, I think.
Yeah,
you will be able to get that with.
That's all of them are on, all of them and more. Everything in that sale is on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
And would cost you £8 a month.
Yeah.
It's worth thinking about, I think, guys.
Yeah. But I mean, I think at the moment, the older stuff is what would buy me into that, Tony, I would say.
Yeah.
And
there's only a 3-month lag on releases.
And I know, I can't even say. It's because of this or because of that or, but the big two just doesn't interest me right now anymore.
I'm still getting physical copies but of the big two, but I'm like, there's just stuff on there that I almost regret buying after month.
I mean, for me, there could also be some absolutely amazing stuff that I'm missing out on. There surely is, but it's just not where my focus lies at the moment. Like Dan says, it's the independent stuff. My view has switched even more to just discovering new stuff. I want to be that person that sort of goes, I remember, I was the first one that discovered them. Now that they're massive, they're not as good. I want to be that person. Do you know what I mean? The person that has joy
of punk band guy.
Yeah, discovering the punk band before anyone else knows it. I'm always searching for that fix. Which is why, I always love talking about new books and new creations and stuff, and yeah, that's why it's a recommendation. You know,
or when they're kind of like the unicorn, not the horse, designed by a committee. Do you know what I mean? Like the one or two creators who come together, put a book out, like Atomic Hercules, and it's what it is. It's absolutely what it sets out to be, and there's no one holding it back.
There's no weight of anything else on you for it. Yeah, I know what you mean. Can I say one of mine?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, so one of the ones that I've got is I just really hope people start talking about comics again.
Yes.
I'm sick and tired of even podcasts that I've listened to for ages, turning them on and all they do is talk about TV and movies, and I'm sick of it, man. When all the Daredevils and Jessica Jones and Punishers and Luke Cages all came on television, I watched them all in a day. I stayed up late to watch them all, just to get them all in, and I was so excited. But with this, 400 fucking series coming out, I'm like, it's just sucking the mojo out, and it's taken away from the time that I want to sit down and read a comic. And I've got a comic room with a big TV in it, but I rarely turn the TV on anymore. I just come up here to read comics.
Most of the time, all these new stuff that's coming out in comics, I'm not even bothering with it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just not interested in it.
I mean, I'm so two-faced because I just ordered the Blu-ray of New Mutants, you know, but I'm like, I'm not interested in the What If cartoon, because it's not helping comics seemingly.
Yeah.
But that audience isn't, you know, we're not that audience, or maybe
yeah, that's
not, you know, I mean,
that's
I mean,
the problem.
Well,
we've sort of
how much would it take to put an advert for the actual comic in before the TV?
It wouldn't take anything, but they don't care.
They don't, man. They don't care at all.
They don't.
No, they don't.
Breaks my heart. We're living in what could be the best possible time ever for comics. Comic characters rule the world at the moment.
Mm.
You know, the cinema, the TV, everything. Except for the fucking comics.
I feel like it needs to be taken back to formula, to quote Spider-Man, the movie. We need to start getting these comic books back into the shops where kids can get them.
I think you're right. I think the direct market was the start of the drip feed of terror that became, making it just a hobby for special people who go into special shops. Yeah,
this circling the drain. It's the it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. The amount of people it's drawing in, and you know where that ends. You know what I mean?
And everyone says, "Oh, but the comics are selling." You know, but that's about three comics. I sent you the chart, didn't I, this week?
Yeah, you said comics are doing really well, like these trades. And then you look, they're like Dogman and there's the kind of teen younger kids books, and they're selling millions and millions and millions. And the rest of them just pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
And when I hear some of the numbers that Kickstarter people are doing, and they're beating the big publishers and they're small indie creators, you've got to start asking questions. What the fuck is going on, man? I don't know. Yeah.
You got to start thinking more like Scholastic.
But this is all ignorance. Yeah. I've got to say, I'm talking from complete ignorance. I'm not in the industry.
Oh yeah, completely. And everything, like we always say on this show, everything is our opinion, and from what we know, you know, don't take anything as fact, because we're no authorities.
Yeah, I mean, we can only speak from experience, but I am bored of at least three comic shops this year. I've walked in and engaged them about comics at the counter, and they've changed the subject to talk about movies. And some of these sites that are set up, all the people do is talk, like, you know, I've been railing on a certain site, a certain comic company, for every advert seems to be about another company's movies.
And
I know it's an utter fantasy that people stop talking about movies and TV and start talking about comics, but if I had a one wish,
times, but I don't like if you're gonna have a comic, who would you cast as your characters? So I don't really, I've not considered it too much, to be honest.
They live in the comic for me. They live there on the page.
They're the comic characters.
Okay, and I think the obvious one that we haven't touched is it's just going to be nice to see you all again. Conventions return, comic events return, sometimes just meeting up with some of you lovely people just for a meal or anything like that.
Oh, it really invigorates me going to a con.
Yeah.
I mean, hats off to anyone who kind of held a digital con, but they're not really working for me.
Yeah.
The numbers aren't big either. You look at some of the YouTube videos that are coming out of these, and the American cons especially, they're not huge, you know.
It's the you cannot replicate the con experience.
Yeah.
Digitally, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is as well, I think what a lot of these cons are doing is they're putting their panels out as digital features, which I think is the best option they've got, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you go to a panel at a convention, they're rarely full. unless you're San Diego or New York, the panels are rarely full, aren't they?
No.
The real highlight of the convention is chatting over the table and in the bar afterwards and stuff like that, which is stuff they can't
meeting people readers.
Can't create that, can they? Yeah.
So obviously we hope that happens as soon as it can. These things take time. So until that time when we can all do all that stuff again, then everyone, for God's sake, just be sensible and look after yourselves, and we hope you're okay, and just keep creating comics. You know what I mean? Comics will help.
I think there was an MCM was saying that, like, May. Was it May? And I was like, well, that's not going to happen.
No. I don't think it's going to happen.
That won't happen.
Yeah. No.
But I think later on in the year, we've got a good chance of getting cons back.
Yeah. I'm almost thinking of a bubble.
Yeah. Could well be.
We will, of course, be, you know, we don't do weekly news, but I think when it comes to stuff like this, we will sort of probably be discussing if any big news
conventions
comes out.
Are baby, isn't it? Conventions is our scene, so I think we will keep you updated on
keep you updated, and certainly, you know, if you were planning, if you're a comic convention organizer and you were planning something and you've had to cancel, or you know, tell us your plans or you know what you're hoping for, and we will put shout outs about it and see what's going on as well, because this is a community, we're all in it together, we literally are in it together, so yeah, we're just hoping for the best in 2021, and you know, we'll probably talk a little bit of shop next week anyway, before we sign off the year completely, after the fun we're gonna have, we'll talk about some things that we've got in the pipeline or what we're working on and stuff. But yeah, it's been a hell of a year, and if it wasn't for you two bastards, Lord knows where we'd be, eh?
Same, man. So, this has been like a bloody linchpin in my life, coming through to you guys to sort of see me through. It's been good.
Definitely.
So thank you to all you lovely people who have supported us. But as you can tell, there's no recommendations this week. No recommend, because sorry, you've had a fucking 2 hours of recommendations just a minute ago. So
it's a long one again. We're going long again, aren't we?
Yeah. But it's you know, what is a Favour of the Year show without doing that? And thank you very much for listening this week. We hope you enjoyed it. If there's anything that you want to get in touch with us about, even if it's just say Merry Christmas, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we will be shouting out about the charity drive, which will still be happening for the rest of the month. So give if you can, all for a good cause, whatever cause you want, and we'll love you for it. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. We mentioned it a couple of times tonight, but join up the Awesome Comics Talk group. Just search for Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook. Literally, if you're one of those people who's like, oh, I hate Facebook, I'm with you. This group's the only thing that you want to go there for. Because it's a load of wonderful people who love comics, whether it be creators, fans, readers, convention organizers, they're just there to talk about comics, and it's a brilliant community. And surely when everyone's got some downtime over the Christmas period, that hopefully will be quite active, I would imagine.
Christmas Eve we've got our art swap.
I've just finished mine.
Secret Santa.
Oh, Tony, you're smashing it, dude.
Well,
mine's all but done. Yes.
I'm very needy. You know, I'm very needy. I put it on our little WhatsApp group and you didn't comment for 10 minutes and it made me feel a bit down about it. But I'm feeling better now.
So you should, because it's brilliant. So, join the Facebook group and look on that thread, because there's going to be some amazing art flying about on there. So, Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. We are on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and leave a review. It helps get a word out about the show, and therefore all of the indie creators that we talk about on a weekly basis, which is what we're here for. Well, actually, we're probably just here to amuse ourselves, aren't we? That's what it's become, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit of that.
Yeah. But we're also on other networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod. Sit down, you slaphead.
That's a joke that certainly won't go in the outtakes.
That'll never get repeated.
No, that'll never get repeated. But what will be repeated is this. We love you all. We hope you have an amazing Christmas. Because this is the last show before Christmas, isn't it?
Crimbo. Yeah. Can't wait for the big day.
That's crazy. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with, we hope you stay safe, happy, healthy, have a good Christmas. Let us know what graphic novels or comics or whatever you're going to be doing.
Yeah, we'll put up a little Christmas gift thread. What did you get in your comics gift?
The comics haul. I've missed comics haul photos
from
conventions. So let's do some mini ones, like, you know, because we're all going to get, surely all of us are going to get at least one comic in some ways, hopefully. If you do, let's start a thread on, you know, we'll probably put one on the Twitter and probably on the Facebook. Then just join in. But have an amazing holiday time wherever you are in the world. We hope you're okay, happy, healthy, and we love you. Thank you for sticking with us this long. There's plenty more to come, and it's still not going to be any more professional. But where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Tributepress.bigcartel.com or neverironanything.bigcartel.com. Atomic Hercules is going to go live on their digital version and physical copy in the next couple of days. We're just waiting for everyone to get their pre-ordered one through the post.
Amazing. Dan.
Fantastic. You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and Vanguard returns in 2021. I've been drawing that this week. And in 2021, you can buy Viper as soon as that's kind of fulfilled to the Kickstarter backers. I'll be offering that up for people to buy in 2021, so keep your eyes peeled.
So good. Oh, shout out that bit of fan art.
How good was that, man? Yeah.
That's fantastic. And the person whose name did it completely escapes me.
Dig that up while I let them know. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jester Diablo, where, do you know what? I think over the Christmas period, I might do some drawing. I haven't done that for a while. It's terrible that gets a cheer.
Who is it, D?
Mark Olivent on Twitter. He's absolutely fantastic artist, and he did an amazing Viper pinup.
Just out of the blue.
He backed the project digitally, and he read the comic. He really enjoyed it, so he did some fan art. I've been getting quite a lot of good feedback from Viper. So
hopefully, because it was a cracking book. So there you go. Did I say cracking or crapping? Either way, it crapped solid gold. That's how good it was. Oh, dear. It's been a long night. It's been a long year. But we'll see you next week for the big, fat, awesome quiz of the year. Yeah. Round three.
You better be bringing your A game home. Yeah. I'm not writing any soft cock questions this time, my friends. Yeah. You've got to bring your A game.
Yeah.
Last time was pretty hard.
Yeah, it was actually. No, I mean, we're not going to talk a good game, because half the time me and Dan are like, I don't know this.
I bust out the word. It's usually a Pyrrhic victory every time.
So for those who don't know, or any new listeners, or whatever, to sign off the year, we always do just a quiz, you know, because it's you know, end of year quiz sort of thing, and it's just a bit of fun. And every year we've had a different sort of podcast crew come in, step into our yard and give us a good kicking, and every year we've just about managed to
edge it.
We've edged it every time. So yeah, me and Dan Butcher versus
the Lakes.
There you go. Ian Nicky from the Lakes.
No, it's not Ian and Nicky. No,
I think it's Ian and Pete. I think Nicky's doing the scores.
Nicky's gonna be like a Paul Bearer.
Nicky's gonna be in Comics Code Corner.
Oh no.
I told you they're no pushovers. Yeah.
Pete's a fucking encyclopedia.
I know.
I'm calling in sick.
Don't let me down.
I'm washing my hair that night.
Vince and Dan, the Mega Powers.
I want a montage of you guys hitting the comics this week, a little video.
Yeah. Can I be Macho Man, Dan, in that?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Yeah.
No one wants to be Hulk Hogan these days, so sucks to be you.
Just back in Hulk of the 80s, where he's just doing loads of drugs.
Oh yes, nothing but drugs. That's what
sticking it in his arm nonstop.
But thank you for sticking this into your ears. I can't sign off for that.
That was fine.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Have a brilliant week. Have a brilliant Christmas. And from Dan, Tony, and myself, read loads of comics, make loads of comics, stay festive, and as always, what should they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Oh my god!
That's how we do it.
How we do.
And you didn't have practice either, did you?
No.
It's out of your ass.
Fucking hell. It's the Christmas miracle.